It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Where is the week gone? Here we are. It's the 11th day of February 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And, well, if you do, pop right in, and a group is gathering already. And, if you pop in, you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Otto and Squeaky and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, has declined this Thursday afternoon in Northern California to fold space. He is capably assisted by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve. So, pop on by. I think a good time will be had by all. We will probably gather together even though the trial is over. In fact, I think it's a better idea to do a little front porching tonight and tomorrow night just to get it all out of our system. Get it all out of our system because there's been a lot to digest. There's been a lot to... And, well, tomorrow it resumes. Let me see if I can put this in language that sane people use. But the House managers have rested their case, and that means that they've completed the presentation of their evidence, and so tomorrow those miserable pettifoggers that I wouldn't trust to chase a little red wagon, let alone an ambulance, they'll stand up and start pounding the table. Because remember, the operative phrase here, the operative term, the operative strategery is, of course, if you have the law, pound on the law. If you have the facts, pound on the facts. And if you have neither, pound on the table. There will be a lot more table pounding. When he made his opening remarks, Bruce Castor was, I think he wanted to pound on the table. He just wasn't sure what a table was or where or if. I don't think he even had a full comprehension of the Platonic ideal of a table. But that's me, and I'm cranky that way. It is a beautiful sort of evening here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold Trump Virginia Stan. Because we're still maggoty here. He may be gone, but his maggots yet remain. I know because West Virginia just got its... the legislature came into session yesterday, and without wasting any time whatsoever, they filed a We Hate Trans Kids bill. So we know it's still plenty maggoty here. We may or may not talk about that later, because we're probably going to be consumed with talking about the impeachment proceedings. Every program here at The Horn, of course, begins with gratitude. Because this program exists only because of your kindness and determination that it continue to exist. And so, consequently, I have thanks to send out to our subscribers for the 11th day of the month. Thank you to Paul from Parts Unknown. Thank you to John. Thank you to Christopher. Thank you to Tony and Chico. Thank you very kindly indeed. Thanks very much jumping in on the really scary fundraising deficit. Thank you to Sandra. Sandra says, it's time. Here, here. And thanks as well to David jumping in. And the happy effect of all of that is the fundraising goal is down to, let me check here. I want to make sure I've got this all right. Yeah, the fundraising goal is down to $885. $885 is better than $960 by a long shot. So thanks for that. Thank you to David and thank you to Sandra. Let me see here. Okay, so we're at 885, and that can go lower, I hope. I had a lovely note from Charlene in Rogues Island. Charlene said, I've enjoyed listening to the fond remarks made about triumphs. See how this happens? Roger got it started. Jessica jumped in. And Charlene says, when I was around 9 or 10 years old, my father came home with a shiny new TR3, red. And so here's a $100 triumph challenge. Best from Rogues Island. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so much. I love that, the triumph challenge. I guess the closest thing we've got to anything even vaguely resembling that now is what, the Mazda Miata? But God almighty. You can drop $35,000 on a Miata. I tried to sit in a Miata once. Operative word here is tried. Failed. I mean, I got my feet in. It's just that the rest of me wouldn't fit, even with goose grease and a shoehorn. Pity. But thank you for the challenge, Charlene. So that means there's $100 out there waiting for friends, and that'll get us down to $685. Which is tremendous, and mean that we will have part of the week, at least maybe part of a day and part of it fully funded. Monday's fully funded. That's awesome. Thank you. And so we'll work on Tuesday, Wednesday, and today. Okay? And that is followed, courtesy of Ralph's, with the, oh my goodness, $25 challenge. Because of the 885. Thank you, Ralphs. So that's 125 on the table, meaning we can knock it all down by 250. And that would be really, really helpful. That's almost a whole show's worth. That's $50 worth of a whole show's worth. Thank you. Thank you, Ralphs. As to the defense strategy, an early note coming in from Lee in New York. The Trump pro bono law team should go simple. August conscript fathers and mothers of the Senate, we know he's not going to be convicted. Let the jury vote. They're not expected to use anything near their 16-hour allotment. Oh, no. No. I would not be surprised at all Bruce Castor gets up and says, so what? He's guilty. You're not going to convict him because you're scared of him. Because that's what it boils down to, isn't it? And it was prayer meeting Wednesday and everything. And I'm looking for the link right now. But it turns out that with his little head tapping, David Schoen, when he took a drink of water, and it was claimed that he was doing it out of some religious obligation. Maybe not. An expert on on Jewish practice, writing at Haaretz, Queens College professor Samuel Heilman. He's a modern Orthodox Jew, and wrote in that paper, in that Israeli paper, there is no Jewish pride in his defense of a former president whose association with anti-Semitism and white supremacists began before he was elected and until his last days in the White House promoted anti-Jewish tropes and accusations, including supporting outrageous calumnies, most recently by Marjorie Taylor Greene Cuball, more on her in a minute, the Proud Boys, and others. This, again, from Samuel Heilman. And I said, he went on to say that Professor Heilman, could not identify with someone who thinks that his observance of the Sabbath and holding his hand on his head while blessing God's name makes up for defending a national leader who has cruelly separated asylum-seeking children from their parents and making it nearly impossible for any endangered stranger to find sanctuary in the United States, turning America from a realm of grace into a place with no room for the persecuted stranger. Instead of pride, I feel a profound shame. Schoen's example desecrates rather than consecrates the very values that Orthodoxy must hold dear. Strong words. So, you reckon David Schoen will even show up for work tomorrow? Or do they just have it all laid out? We're south and west of D.C., sunset today was 5:58 p.m., so I'd say it's a good bet, as if he was really going to go. It's a good bet that David Schoen will be out of the Capitol in time to get to Sabbath services. As if that was really something he cared about. Because I'm with Professor Heilman. I don't think... I extended over into the tradition from which I sprang, evangelical Christianity. I don't think you can really, 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 for true, be a follower of Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life. I don't think you can do that and be a follower of Trump. A man may not serve two masters, of course. There's been a lot to digest both yesterday and today, but it was funny when he took, Joe Neguse, who is, I think, one of the stars of this impeachment team. They're all awesome. Yeah, I know. Leah New York said today's Thursday. Shabbat is tomorrow. I know it is. Sundown Friday. I was just pointing out that sundown today was 5:58, so it'll probably be 6 o'clock or better by the time tomorrow rolls around. No, I wasn't espousing a new heresy or anything. But anyway, Joe Neguse made reference to... the words of Jonathan Turley. And this in turn caused Turley to have a fit. Apparently things are causing fits to be had in several different quarters. Joe Neguse said, up until a few weeks ago, he, Turley, was a recognized champion of the view that the Constitution authorizes the impeachment of former officials. In fact, Jonathan Turley argued that the House could have impeached and the Senate could have tried Richard Nixon after he resigned. This then caused a hissy to be had. Representative Neguse just cited my Duke piece and said that I was an advocate until just a couple of weeks ago for retroactive trials. I appreciate the citations, but not true. That article was 21 years ago. Yeah, but you hadn't retracted it there, Jono. But more interesting, I think, than that is a piece that came out of the Salt Lake Tribune. And it speaks to something we were talking about last night. In other words, namely, the bizarre behavior of Mike Lee, the constitutional scholar from Utah. I love it that the moment that he was standing up and getting red in the face and hollering, "Well, I said the words and I didn't say them," or something to that effect. It was cute. Sitting right behind him, looking positively consternated, was Marsha, goodness, Blackburn, with her lips all pursed and looking all, "I don't understand these words I'm looking at." The pride of Tennessee, yes. So we go back to the event that started all of this, and that was the, we'd like to say butt dialing, but it wasn't butt dialing. It was tiny thumb dialing, and it wasn't dialing. It was pressing. But as I alluded to last night, there's no way that Lee is close to Tuberville or tuberculosis or tuber or whatever that freak's name is. And Tommy's not close to Mike either. So it had to be out of his recents, which means that they were probably right next to each other, and he just thumbed the wrong recent phone call and got Mike Lee instead of Tommy Tuberculosis. And so in the Salt Lake Tribune, seeing as how he's a Utah senator, the Salt Lake Tribune took it all apart. And it's really kind of fascinating, especially taken in part with what Senator Sheldon Whitehouse discussed last night with Lawrence O'Donnell, namely that the Ethics Committee of the Senate is looking into whether or not there may have been some fifth columnists, as it were, inside the Senate, you know, aiding in the ongoing criminal conspiracy that resulted in the attacks on January 6th. We got to it first. But then again, it's the Horn community. You want to be so far out ahead of the curve that you feel like you're on straight road, as we've said for years now, this is where you go to get there. And thank you, Steve and Ms. Karen and little Cletus. Little Cletus went out in the yard, even though it's raining down in Georgistan, and dug up some bones and got us started. And so we've got $85 to go on Charlene's Triumph Challenge. Thank you very kindly, Steve and Ms. Karen, little Cletus. Over at the Salt Lake Tribune, it's titled, "What Senator Mike Lee Told Me About Trump's Call the Day of the Capitol Riot." Uh-oh, this sounds like somebody who actually knows what he's talking about, by Brian Schott. And let's just go over his words real quick. "On the evening of January 6th, after the rioters were cleared out of the U.S. Capitol," I'm sorry, attackers, Mr. Schott, they were not rioters, they were attackers, "were cleared out of the U.S. Capitol and Congress got back to the work of counting the Electoral College votes, Senator Mike Lee exchanging some text messages with me, a journalist with the Salt Lake Tribune. After conversing about the day's events, which I won't detail here as I agreed to keep them off the record, Lee related the story of how then-President Donald Trump mistakenly called his phone, thinking it belonged to Tommy Tuber, the newly elected senator from Alabama." They don't look even remotely alike, I'll add. So it's not like he was pointing at a picture or something, nitwit Nero. "And Lee agreed to let me publish the story, which I initially broke in my newsletter, The Rundown, the following morning." There's a link in the Salt Lake Tribune story. "And then other news outlets picked it up." So then Schott goes back to last night and says that Lee strenuously objected to House impeachment managers, referring to other reporting that said Lee overheard Trump telling Tuberville to delay the certification of the Electoral College votes by objecting. Lee did not say he overheard the former president's conversation with Senator Tuberville, but he did tell me the call lasted for several minutes. that evening by text message, this is what Mike Lee said to Brian Schott. Moments after the proceedings in the Senate were halted by the Capitol Police, my phone rang. The caller ID indicated that the call was coming from the White House. I thought it was Robert O'Brien, the president's national security advisor, calling to update me on a question I had asked him about a security threat from Iran. Now, wait, just take a minute. The Capitol has been under attack by the kind of people who think Mike Lee is a great scholar all day long. And what? He thinks that's a bunch of wild-eyed imams out there dressed up wearing their maggot hats just to throw us off? Oh, they're clever, those Iranians. To my great surprise, Lee said, it was not Robert O'Brien, but President Trump on the other end of the line. My heart started to beat a little faster, as I was convinced he could only be calling to argue with me about my reading of the 12th Amendment in Article 2, Section 1. Now, Mike, come on, nobody believes that. For starters, in order to figure out where the 12th Amendment is, Nitwit Nero would need both hands and have to take off a shoe just to count to it. And he can't read Roman numerals, Article II. There was a lot of noise and commotion in the room, but I thought I heard him say, "How's it going, Tommy?" I said, "Mr. President, this is Mike Lee."
"No, I dialed Tommy's number."
"Mr. President, are you calling for Tommy Tuberville?" "Yes."
"Yes."
Anxious to hand the phone to someone else and not have to argue with the president about matters at hand, I asked if he'd like me to find Senator Tuberville.
"Yeah, sure, that'd be great."
Argue with the president about matters at hand. Now, how or why or over what portion of what had been going on, matters at hand, would they be arguing? Remember, this is after the Capitol has been cleared and they've gotten back to business.
"Yeah, that'd be great. Find Tommy."
I went and found Senator Tuberville, handed him my phone, and explained that the president would like to speak to him. I stood nearby for the next 5 or 10 minutes as they spoke, not wanting to lose my phone in the middle of a crisis. You know, because, well, I don't know, maybe he's heard rumors or something that Tommy Tuberville, you know, because he got busted in a hedge fund scam, would steal the pennies off a dead man's eyes. Then the Capitol Police became very nervous and ordered us to evacuate the chamber immediately. Ah, the police were nervous. Gosh, I wonder why the Capitol Police would be nervous. I mean, there were 140 of them injured. One was dead or dying. Another had a heart attack. Stabbings, beatings, various and sundry hand-to-hand combat brutalizations. The Capitol Police became very nervous, Mike Lee said. As they were forcing everyone out of the chamber, see, this fucker is not a constitutional scholar, but what he is a crafty devil with language. See, Mike Lee, wait a minute, the Capitol had been cleared. He said, "Oh no, that's when they were talking. This is during the attack." You know, the attack that Mike Lee thought was being launched by clever maggot hat wearing Iranians. Moron. The Capitol Police became very nervous. Yeah, they were the scaredy cats. I don't know if you know this, but Lindsey Graham said the Capitol Police let us down. That he wanted them to open up with heavy weapons fire. Okay. So the Capitol Police became very nervous and ordered us to evacuate the chamber immediately. As they were forcing everyone out of the chamber, I awkwardly found myself interrupting the same telephone conversation I just facilitated. Oh, interrupting, facilitate. Five whole syllables. Count them. "Excuse me, Tommy, we have to evacuate. Can I have my phone?" Senator Tuberville promptly ended the call and returned my phone to its rightful owner. And that's as much as Brian Schott at the Salt Lake Tribune knew. But it's becoming clearer and clearer like I said, especially taken in conjunction with what Senator Whitehouse said to Lawrence O'Donnell, that there are members of the jury, the Senate sitting as a jury in a trial of impeachment, there are members of the jury who are tainted, who are criminal co-conspirators in what I hope will someday be prosecuted as the criminal conspiracy that it was in the federal courts. And so the hissy came based on the New York Times article, as was said in the trial last night, that after the managers were done, Lee rose to his feet and got all red-faced about the other reports that said Lee overheard him, overheard Nitwit Nero commanding Tommy the Tuber to take more steps in furtherance of their criminal conspiracy. Because Mike Lee's hands were not exactly clean by that point. And the call went on for several minutes. I think Mike Lee perceives that he, Mike Lee, and maybe he, Tommy the Tuber, realize they got a problem. And Josh Hawley, and Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, they all recognize that they have a problem because the coup failed. And failed coups have a way of having consequences if the government against whom the coup was launched takes it seriously. Now, on Tuesday, Ted Cruz read the newspaper. Josh Hawley had his feet up. At one point today, some 13 members of the Senate decided to just sashay out of the trial, even though they are commanded by constitutional imperative to sit and hear the evidence. Oh, but they're senators. They're special. Rules are for other people. Yeah. I mean, the fix is in. We know that. That's why we were joshing about, oh, Josh Hawley. See what I did there? That's why we were kidding about, Lee in New York saying, you know, the argument Castor offers will be, we know you're going to let him go. We rest. And the images continued to be harrowing today. The evidence, if it was being heard impartially, would result in a conviction, perhaps by a unanimous verdict, if it was being judged impartially. But it's not, and nobody thinks it is. And interviewed today, Senator Whitehouse said, if that was a criminal prosecution in a court of law, Donald Trump would have shown up with his lawyer this morning looking for a plea deal. And it's the truth. It's absolutely the truth. Oh, I said we'd have more on Marjorie Taylor Greene cucumber. This one's rich. Over on Twitter, Yashar Ali posted a story from the Daily Mail in the UK. Embattled QAnon Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene openly cheated on her husband of 25 years with a polyamorous tantric sex guru. And if polyamorous tantric sex guru does not become a band name in the next 24 hours, there's no justice. And then moved on to another affair with the manager at her gym. Marge gets around. And remember, the Daily Mail in the UK is much more subject to being sued and having a having massive judgments against them than they are here. So you got to think they must have been taking this fairly seriously. The tantric sex guru is someone by the name of Craig Ivey, they report. The fitness gym manager is Justin Tway. She's been married for, 25 years. She's got three kids with Perry Green. DailyMail.com talked to both guys. Neither of them denied the affair, but they didn't want to. I have no interest in talking about anything to do with that woman. Everything with her comes to no good, said Mr. Tway, the gym manager, Justin Tway. Yeah. And she met both the tantric sex guru, Craig Ivey, and Mr. Tway, while she was working at a gym. Not wrong with working at a gym. But, well, insiders say she was so brazen about her affairs, they believed her marriage was on the rocks, but it appears the couple has put her infidelity behind them. Or maybe it was just okay with him. Maybe, I don't know, you reckon maybe they're friends with the Falwells? You know, Beckeye and Cucky Jerry? When the Daily Mail reached out to Marjorie Taylor Greene Q-Ball, you know, she's a one-trick pony. Okay, no, don't use trick. She's only got one answer, one response. It's another attempt to smear my name because I'm the biggest threat to the Democrat socialist agenda. No, the biggest threat to a socialist agenda is the non-existence thereof. But, you know, things like intellect or intelligence have never gone anywhere in terms of polluting thin gray settlings that slosh around between Marjorie Taylor Greene Q-Ball's ears and, you know, pass for brains. Yeah, she was working in gyms in Alpharetta, Georgia, when she decided to, oh my God. The polyamorous tantric sex guru Craig Ivey, shown in a photo with a pair of hipsters on that I, as a trans girl, would not be caught dead in. Sorry, just saying. One man who worked with her said, oh, it wasn't a secret. Everyone who moved in her circles knew about both the affairs. This grandson of a billionaire by the name of Jim Chambers said, she socialized a lot with us. I remember one particular pool party where she was lying draped over Craig's lap, drinking a beer. Craig, remember the polyamorous tantric sex guru? Polyamorous, does that mean he, like, you know, gets it on while wearing a leisure suit or something? Polyester? No, that would be polyester amorous. Sorry, I get sent. Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous tabloid garbage spread by an avowed communist. That's what it is, an avowed commie. Yeah. Well, you know, what do you want? She's a Republican. They are some wild and kinky people. Far be it from me to criticize how anybody gets it on. But remember, she's got family values. She's a mama. And she's going to bring Christian values. Show me the part in the Gospels where Jesus says, take up thy polyamorous tantric sex guru and follow me. Thank you. Agnes, meanwhile, adds, Jezebel! What was that, dear? Whore of Babylon, Jezebel! No, you won't hear him hollering about that over on the right-wing evangelical religion industry. No. Yeah, Matt in San Francisco with a cogent observation. Don't shit where you eat. Has Marge never heard it's a bad idea to have sex with coworkers? The dumb is strong with this one. Ralph says, no, Robin, polyamorous means he has relationships with multiple people, at least to me. Well, that clears that up. Thank you, Ralph, serving as the ad hoc horn research department this evening, as she so often does. Yeah. See, the thing with me is I just can't imagine anybody. I can't imagine anybody loving Marjorie Taylor Greene. But that's me. That's just me. Arthur wants to know, is Craig Ivey related to the Tiger Man? Who should call it? With the tigers and the hair. Oh, God, if they weren't so goddamn dangerous, they'd be hilarious. Billable Rick says, as a fluent Latin speaker, I am not a Latin speaker. I'm a Latin reader. Not many people speak Latin. Although they did a good job in that one German miniseries about the Battle of the Teutoburg Forest. Never mind. As a fluent Latin speaker, you surely know that poly means many, and the amorous means love, so the phrase refers to people who have multiple partners at once and sometimes even orgies. Even orgies? Even orgies. Yeah. Going back to Mike Lee, Steve says, let's be clear about something. Lee was red-faced out of embarrassment, not anger. Yeah. Or feigned indignance. We can play with all kinds of words in this regard. Oh, by the way, honey, Lee in New York says, hi, Agnes. Yeah, hi, Lee. What? Hi, Lee, sending love, she says. And Arthur adds, now, Robin, you know rules don't apply to Republicans. That's the 11th Commandment and was incorporated as the 34th Amendment. It's a double secret stealth amendment, so it's not printed, but trust me, it's there. Of course it is. It's often abbreviated as IOKIYAR. It's okay if you're a Republican. Yeah, it's possible. Ralph's noting maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber has an open marriage. See Cucumber. I added the sea cucumber part. Wait, sea cucumber? Never mind. Let's not get all tied up in details. As for the 16-hour allotment that they've got, the Republican, the Trump defense, sincerely, Genghis Khan says, Bruce Castor is going to use the Jimmy James defense. Your Honor, Tubal Cain. Yeah, why are we laughing? To hold back the tears and to push back against the nothing. That's what I got. That's why we're laughing. Because we got to. We had a deadly serious attempt to overthrow the government of the United States of America and the Constitution thereof. And the president stands impeached. The former president stands impeached. And we, not we, but they, Republicans, are going to send him walking. And that's sickening. It's disgusting. It's infuriating. And it also probably means it will happen again. Some people are beginning to hip to the fact that they're talking, they're out there grumbling and mumbling about March the 4th. And that's why the fencing's still up. That's why the National Guard is still in D.C. in the dead and still of bitter winter. They ain't done. God, that clip of the Cowboys for Trump asshole from out in New Mexico declaring that the only good Democrat is a dead Democrat. I found that chilling. And of course, they went ahead and they proved the fact that Nitwit Nero not only saw the video of him saying it, but he retweeted it and thanked him for it. The then president of the United States thanked an un-American homicidal maniac for declaring that the only good Democrat is a dead Democrat. And so, with all that having been said, Robin! I was having a conversation with Richard's son, Randy, who's a cantor in his synagogue in New York. Randy was explaining to me the difference between animals and humans according to the Old Testament, with the difference being animals cannot distinguish between right and wrong, but humans most certainly can, or at least they theoretically should be able to decipher between good and evil. Jeffrey heard the conversation. Naturally, he's got something to say. Now, I am considered an animal, but after watching these videos at the Capitol during the hearings of the last few days, I'm starting to wonder who the animals really are. These people who broke into the Capitol and were singing the George Soros laser band's greatest hits. Yes, I think these animals disguised as people have some kind of a... Wait for it. Yes, the animals disguised as people have some sort of... Sorosis. Or perhaps they had psoriasis. You know, they were all butt hurt because they didn't get to steal another election. But Jeffrey's correct. These people behaved like animals, as over 100 police personnel were injured and at least one was killed. Many of these so-called humans behaved like animals and should have been shot on sight. I thought Steve in New York nailed it last night when he gave one of his friends an ultimatum. It's either me or Trump. Outstanding, Steve, and those are my sentiments exactly after what we've witnessed while watching these videos of the insurrection at the Capitol. If these Republican senators, the likes of Rafael Edweirdo Cruz, Josh Heil Hawley, and Florida's Marco Cubio Rubio are not going to convict Trump and you still want to be a maggot, then please stay the hell away from me because you're no friend of mine. And Jeffrey wraps up this portion with a warning. Last night, a man named Lee stood up in the Congress and vigorously protested he was wrongly accused of statements he did not make. Actually, if we dig deep, we may find that Mike Lee of Utah was very deeply responsible for those words and very deeply involved in this insurrection. This country is very close to another civil war, and by the way, wasn't there another man by the name of Lee in the original Civil War? Why, yes, there was. One wonders if they're kinfolk. That, of course, is Joey's Journal for Senate and Aside Thursday, the 11th day of February, 2021, with Giraffe watching out for the real animals. We missed Joey's Journal yesterday, though. With Joey asking, overall, what the hell was that we witnessed in the halls of Congress? Yesterday, we witnessed the stark difference between the two parties. The Democrats were literally deathly serious, as the rock star of the Congress, Jamie Raskin, made an incredible heartfelt presentation, and that, along with a video, laid out the entirety of the corruption of the Republican Party, featuring how Trump incited an insurrection and a riot at the Capitol a month ago. On the other hand, you had Trump's loser lawyers just making speeches that were so outlandish and ridiculous, rendering the Republicans pointless in these proceedings. These two attorneys who are attempting to represent Trump are truly representative of the Republican Party. Castor and Schoen are their names, and of course, castor oil is primarily used as a laxative. And with that said, both of these clowns, just like the maggots, dumped a bunch of shit on the floors of Congress yesterday, and they should both be shown, S-C-H-O-E-N, the door. Well played, Jeffrey. The Republican Party, Joey observes, is no longer a legitimate party. Yes, the Republican Party is not legitimate because after watching yesterday's activities in the Congress, it's quite evident that the Republican Party is... Wait for it. It is readily apparent that the Republican Party is all wigged out on Monday, Joey says, I mentioned the deaths of Marty Schottenheimer and Mary Wilson. Mary Wilson was one of the Supremes, and when the Supremes broke up, Diana Ross embarked on her solo career, with her first hit being the remake of Ain't No Mountain High Enough, which went on to number one in the fall of 1970. That song made it to the number one slot, not so much because Diana Ross sang it so well, but rather because the song was a remake that was sung by and in honor of the recently deceased Tammy Terrell. Tammy Terrell and Marvin Gaye sang that song as a duet, but it only made it up to 19 on the charts back in 1967. Unfortunately, Tammy Terrell only made it to 24 years old in this life, and as on March 16, 1970, she died of brain cancer. Marvin Gaye was deeply attached to Tammy, although not romantically involved. They were very close and collaborated on several duets. Marvin Gaye was never the same after her death, and his music reflected it. It was no coincidence that Ain't No Mountain High Enough went to number one just 6 months after Tammy Terrell's death, as the music world rallied around Marvin Gaye and in her honor purchased that single in droves, sending the single to the top spot on the charts. Joey adds, I mentioned my great-grandmother as well, and I do not believe she went out and bought that single, but she was smitten by Tammy Terrell and Marvin Gaye, as one night in April 67, whilst babysitting my precocious 7-year-old sister and a five-year-old Joey, Tammy Terrell and Marvin came on the television and sang Ain't No Mountain High Enough. I remember my 74-year-old great-grandmother just smiling and saying they're so adorable and just jolly good singers. Remember, great-grandma was from Sheffield, England. They're so adorable and just jolly good singers. Her response to those two black singers had a real impact on me and my sister because it just seemed like all we ever saw on television during that time period were black people being beaten with billy clubs, tear-gassed, and sprayed with fire hoses many nights on the news. My great-grandmother, having lived through two world wars, Korea and Vietnam, now understood how certain classes of people were beaten down and brutally treated, and she was all for LBJ's civil rights and never had a racist bone in her body. When I was 5 years old, Joey continues, I could not begin to comprehend the magnitude of my great-grandmother's sentiments, but her words live with me many years later as I grew up in a very racist community where no black people were allowed to even live. Her expressions led me to read books written by Martin Luther King Jr., Jesse Jackson, Gandhi, not to mention enrolling in a Pan-African Studies class in college. And speaking of college, May 1984, I received a phone call from my mother informing me that my great-grandma had passed away just 2 weeks short of her 91st birthday. And of course, the great goddess of irony never sleeps, because just 1 month earlier, on April 1st of 84, Marvin Gaye had been shot to death by his father, just one day short of his 45th birthday. Having the Marvin Gaye death fresh in my mind, I just wept and wept at my great-grandma's funeral, not for the loss of her entirely, but for all I had gained by her living so long and allowing me to know her into my adult years. Jeffrey wraps it up. All of you in the Horn community listening, just know this, after Trump and what these Republican enablers have done to this country, yes, we are in a mountain of shit. However, as Marvin and Tammy sang, ain't no mountain high enough, and we're going to get through this time period and come out stronger. Believe me, I, Jeffrey the Giraffe, know all about tall orders. And he's got the view from 30,000 feet, too. So that was Joey's Journal for Prayer Meeting Wednesday, the 10th day of February, 2021, with Giraffrey looking over the other side of that mountain. And so, to add to the $110 in challenges we have to try to knock down some of what's going on here, there's a $100 Move That Mountain Challenge available. And so, there's $210 needs matching. That would be $21 at 10 21 apiece for 10 people, or $10 apiece for 21 people, or $105 for two. Oh, dear God, don't get me into the 50 cents and whatnot. I'll lose my mind. Thank you. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffe. Paradoxically, but not so paradoxically, Flavio informs us, among the Europeans, you would be shocked to learn the Germans are the best Latinists, not Italians, Spaniards, or Portuguese, or the English. I'm not shocked at all. Flavio notes that's because the Germans are already attuned to the reality of case. Both German and Latin are agglutinative, synthetic languages. Most of the Romance languages, except Romanian and English, are analytic, non-case languages. And I think it's cultural, too, really. These are it was the Germans, of course, who first gave us the very real notion of textual criticism, especially as relating to the Bible. So it kind of stands to reason. As to March the 4th, Lee in New York says, if Trump is going to become the 19th president on March 4th, doesn't that mean that Trump was never president? If only. Well, he'll be the 19th president of the republic. He was the 45th president of the corporation. But that would mean the first 19th. Oh, dear, this gets so confusing after a while. Freaking maggots. Marjorie Taylor, goofball. Steve writes, I can't wait to see how her affairs are personal and nobody else's business, especially when she kind of made them everybody else's business. Draped over. Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you. Thank you very kindly, George. George just took us from 210 down to 185. Thank you, George. Thank you very, very kindly. That's huge. It would be tremendous if we could meet these challenges and take this, fill in the hole a little bit to where at least if Lassie ever got the sheriff to us, then we'd be within reach of a ladder. So we've paid close attention to the proceedings in the Senate. That doesn't mean everybody has been, however. Over on Newsmuck, yuck. But they, you know, they're probably happy at Newsmuck because their exposure, if not credibility, is on the rise. Their credibility isn't, but their exposure is. And so, lo and behold, they decided to book because that's where he can get booked these days. Hopefully, one of these days he'll get booked somewhere else, preferably in bracelets and orange clothing. No, they booked him on Newsmuck to talk about why his dirty old daddy isn't guilty. Alongside, of course, they had Sean Spicy Spicer. Apparently he's a furry. Oh, it takes all kinds. But the purpose was to talk about the question of whether there was an insurrection. And if there was, why was there? Because everybody knows there was an insurrection except for, I don't know, people who watch Newsmuck.
They're only going to prosecute it one way.
Yeah, it's a dangerous slope to go down for that to be your standard. The House impeachment managers just about an hour ago showed this violent surveillance footage that is new, showing Capitol rioters some of their actions. But, you know, Don, they keep showing the actions of the mob, which we have all said were horrific and not okay. But they're not making the case.
Not okay, okay? Ready? Okay. No, it's not okay, okay. Definitely not okay. I mean, it wasn't a violent, treasonous attack on the seat of government. Yeah, it just wasn't okay. God, good work if you can get it.
Of how this directly ties back to your father. Does that bother you?
Well, they're not making that case because it doesn't, right? By that logic, we...
Trader Tot has apparently watched none of the proceedings if he thinks that there has been no connection made to his filthy, sexual assaulting, sexual abusing, child kidnapping daddy. And wait a minute, these people are supposed to be rich. Did you hear the audio in this?
He sounds like he's inside a 1973 Ford Pinto, Trader Tot does. Come on. You can do it. Oh, for pity's sakes. We'll try it some other way.
...of how this directly ties back to your father. Does that bother you?
Well, they're not making that case because it doesn't, right? By that logic, we would take the last 10 months and you would take the $1 billion worth of damage in looting, in rioting, in arson, in murder that took place across the country with the BLM riots and the Antifa riots, and you have the words of Kamala Harris, you have the actions of their campaigns bailing out criminals, you have the words of Maxine Waters, you'll get up in their face, Nancy Pelosi, everyone. Again, they only want to have sort of selective memory as it relates to these things. We've all denounced what happened on January 6th. No one hasn't, okay? That doesn't mean that then by their rules that they would be absolved of 10 months of January 6th that happened across the entire country, right? Federal buildings were stormed. You saw that during, I guess it was during the Ginsburg stuff. You had stuff that happened during Kavanaugh. You had everything else, all insurrected by the Democrats and by
the rhetoric
on
TV,
yet that doesn't seem to be a problem. And I'm not saying it should be, frankly. I don't think that every time that someone says something, we should be able to tie back irresponsible actions of a couple lunatic players and say we got to blame the person saying it.
Couple of lunatic players. Thousands of bloody-minded maggots attacked the capital of the United States. And Trader Tot here thinks it was a couple of losers. No wonder his dad thinks he's an idiot. He is. Jesus. Lunatic players. A couple of them. Just a couple. I mean, you watched the video, didn't you? I mean, I watched the trial. There was only a couple of people rampaging through the Capitol. It was the same two people over and over and over again. That's all. That's all. Yeah, sure, why not? They did it first, that we got to do it the second time, only it wasn't the same thing. Once again, they ignore the fact that we now know that a great deal of the violence and damage was perpetrated by the kind of people who like his daddy. Caught on video in Minneapolis, for instance. Yeah, how about that? Sheesh. But, you know, he's Donald Trump Jr. Oh, let's just wrap this up. Maybe. Nah, I'm sick of it. Did you know that the Capitol got attacked when Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away and Amy Covid Barrett was nominated? Because I'm pretty good at following all. No, it didn't happen. Peaceful protest is not the same thing as attacking the Capitol and murdering people. It's so very true. Matt in San Francisco pointing out, the only thing Trader Tot said that was truthful in his rant was, I don't think. Yeah, a thought would... If Trader Tot was to say, I have a thought, the proper response would be, treat it kindly, it's in a strange place. God almighty. Oh, and just a little, here, let me do this real quick. You know, we were remarking the other day as to how Rush Limbaugh's Stage 4 lung cancer seemed to be taking its dear sweet time. Well, I had said that, I think, on Monday, and then by Tuesday or Wednesday, there was an update. He missed on Tuesday. I heard that. And the 70-year-old Limbaugh was expected to miss Wednesday's show as he battles lung cancer. And producer James Golden, known as one of the Bo Snerdleys, said, "Our prayers are with Rush as he continues to fight the illness as he's been afflicted with. We're still praying for a remission." Keep praying, Mr. Golden. Pray louder. Your God can't hear you. Ken Matthews will fill in for Rush. I heard some of that guy. Whew! "Thanks for all of your prayers, kind words, and wishes for our Rush. God bless you." So, margin call! Oh, well. So let's go over and check in with Sparky in the old holler tree around the extraordinary, ordinary round table. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Robin.
How you doing?
Well, I'm sitting here today watching it rain. It's kind of a rainy day, so I decided to do something I haven't done yet.
Namely?
To go online and order some pot from the Queen of Dragons.
Oh, how cool. Do they deliver?
Yes.
Get out of town.
Sometime after 5 o'clock. We'll probably around 5:30.
You didn't tell Britovo this, did you? I mean, he'll cuss you.
Not yet, but I can go on his show today and tell him.
Got a thing for being cussed, do you?
Yeah. Because this show starts in about, it starts 28 minutes.
Well, I'm just proud as punch for you that you can just pick up the phone and say, bring me some herb.
No.
Oh, no, not even pick up the phone. No, you just do it online.
Do it online.
Of course you do. It's the 21st century.
Sweet.
Did you order anything special or particular?
Oh, I just looked at some stuff and just ordered it.
I still want to know about that banana flavored stuff.
Maybe I didn't order that. I was going to order 5-star banana sherbet, but I didn't do that. I think I ordered something. Oh, I cut my order down.
5-star banana sherbet. Damn, that sherbet just sounds intriguing. Is that an indica or a sativa or a hybrid?
I don't know.
You'll wait and find out.
They give that THC content on the order, I think, but I'm not sure.
Sorry, I had to change propane tanks.
No, I got my order right here. Oh, I did order the rainbow sherbet.
Ooh, rainbow. Fun.
And then I ordered one called Venom. One called Ruthless.
Why do they have to give it scary names? That's what something I don't understand.
One called Notorious. Anyway, I just had
they passed a medical marijuana law here in West Virginia, and I went to order some too, Sparky, and mine was called Unavailable. Tough crowd.
Yeah. Anyway, I had to print out my the email they sent me because it's got one of those little barcode thingies on it.
Yeah.
The little square thing of the scan. So the driver's got to scan that before he'll give me the order.
That's all
I know about it right now. I could probably tell you next week what it was like to get the delivery.
Dude.
But I'm getting into this delivery shit.
It kind of it gives you just a whole new way of looking at things. Don't have to go out, fool around. You can just, don't, no gas to burn or anything. Just sit at home and wait for the goodness to happen.
Or you just have to pay a little bit extra. That's all. Like now we got a tradition. Friday night we get a DoorDash meal. And then Saturday morning I do my grocery shopping online.
Oh, civilization.
Then between 4 and 5 in the afternoon, the guy delivers my groceries. I've had the same guy for like four weeks.
Yeah, I hope he's making a living. But you did. Did you watch today?
Oh, yeah, I was watching off and on. I had to call the Queen of Dragons to get a password because I'd only been in the store before just as a walk-in customer. And I tried to register, but they showed me as I had an account already, but I didn't have a password. They didn't have my email. So they set it up for me.
These are the things we call first world problems.
Yeah. But I had to call him back several times because at first the guy was telling me, oh, you'll get an email. I did that twice, no email. And the third time the guy just gave me a password over the phone and said, I've entered your email, so you should be all set. And boom, when I went on there to sign in, it was all there.
There it was in all its glory. Well, I've got a question from John in PA. Billable might want to take a run at this if he's available. What the hell is Limp Schumer going to do about those 15 assholes who walked out during the proceedings? I would have stopped everything and demanded a vote to compel them to get their fucking traitorous asses back there, or they ain't voting on the verdict. Well, everybody needs a bathroom break, and you can't necessarily wait until you get a 15-minute one to, you know, to let everybody go at once. But I think
we already talked about that in chat, but Robin.
I think, obviously, I wasn't there.
Oh, here's Rick. Here's Rick.
Hey, Ray, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Rick?
Doing good. I only caught the last hour of the proceedings today. I was busy on the golf course for the first 3 hours. So
busy on the golf course. Yeah, busy.
Yeah. But what do you do? I think I caught the best hour anyway, because it was really good. I thought the last hour, you know, the summation and the representative Neguse, I guess, David Neguse. Where's he from?
Colorado.
Okay, I'm impressed with him. He's very, you know, he knows his shit. He really had his shit together. I mean, everybody did. Everybody was great, I think. In some ways, probably even more cogent than the managers for the first impeachment. But I think part of the reason for that is the story was so much easier to understand this time around, you know?
Put it together in such a cogent fashion. It was, you could understand the if A, then B nature of it. It proceeded in a logical order. It was not as chaotic as the event itself, and that was damning.
Right. Yeah, it was very damning. But to get back to the issue then about what Schumer is to do about these senators who absented themselves for a while. I know when they take their oath, they're like under, they're under pain of,
fine and imprisonment
for talking during the proceedings or what? What exactly is the admonition they're given? I kind of forget what that is, but
I think it's pay attention.
So it's pay attention. I mean, practically speaking, though, what kind of a sanction would they face if they just decided to just walk out and not even come back and vote? Which in my mind would be good because, you know, if you get like, 13 fewer Republicans or 15 fewer, that means you only have to get maybe 7 or 8 of them, you know, those present to vote, because the vote is two-thirds vote of the members present. it's not two-thirds of the total Senate. It's two-thirds of the members present. So if those idiots could somehow be excluded from further proceedings, which I don't think is ever going to happen, I don't see Schumer being able to do that. I mean, I don't think he has the guts to, and I don't know if it's the right thing to do anyway. And the parliamentarian would have to weigh in as well.
Well, but, Rick, have you heard, because I haven't, I've read as much as I possibly could. Is Leahy going to get a vote?
I think he has to. He's a senator.
But he's presiding.
So?
Well, I mean, the judge doesn't get a vote on a jury.
Well, this ain't a regular proceeding.
No, I know. That's precisely the point.
Yeah, I think he gets a vote. He'll get a vote, just like everybody else. He may not get to argue in support of his position because he's the judge, but I think he at least gets a vote. I don't see how he could be disenfranchised from being able to get a vote just because, Kamala is not serving as the president of the Senate, over the trial. So, it's interesting to see what the defense will do. I mean, yeah, they might as well just say, look, okay, our client, we admit he's guilty. He did it. But we know that you guys, he has gazillions of dollars he'll spend against you in a primary election if you vote to convict. So we know you're not going to convict. So, enjoy your deliberations.
Maybe Nitwit Nero would respect them more if the 43 or whatever number it was, who said 44. that there was no jurisdiction. Maybe they should boycott the proceedings.
There you go. That would be nice. That would be very nice. Then you have a unanimous vote to convict. That would be beautiful. Right? No, they've effectively boycotted it by, Hawley, sitting up in the gallery. Why not on the floor with his, feet on the chairs and, crew.
And that part I don't understand. Why not call them down?
Yeah.
Literally call them down. Get your ass out. Quit trimming your toenails in the gallery, Josh, and get down here and do your damn job. You're going to cash a check this month. You might as well do the work.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm not at all confident that there's going to be enough Republican support to convict this piece of crap. But, basically the Republican Party is the party of Trump. It's a personality cult. And by voting not to convict, they're going to confirm it's a personality cult, and they're just afraid of the guy, basically. And so, as Trump goes, so the Republican Party will go. And, my hope is that there'll be enough of a critical mass of, decent Republicans, if you want to call it that, that decide to split off and form their own faction or separate party even, and further minimize the significance of the Republican Party as a national party. That's my hope. Don't know if that's going to happen. They may just limp along another 2 years, but I mean, they're based on how they did in the congressional elections and the Senate elections, they surpassed expectations, and they also did very well in the state houses and state and local elections. In fact, there were a couple of Orange County first-time Democrats that lost their seats, I believe. One of them is to a Michelle Steele. Harley Ruda lost his seat to Michelle
Steele. Yeah, Joey was writing about him a couple of days ago.
Yeah. No, I saw that and heard it, and it was great to hear that Harley is that much of a hands-on kind of guy, and hopefully Michelle Steele can be ejected from the House. She's a very very corrupt politician in Orange County. At least that's the impression I get from hanging out here about her. I think there was a lot of Asian money that supported her, maybe shadowy money even. Possibly even Chinese. Who knows, though? Who knows? So those are my thoughts on it. Interested to see what the defense will be. I don't know that they really have a defense on the facts. All they can argue is jurisdiction, but, you know, as Raskin...
That's already been answered.
Yeah, Raskin said, look, that's law of the case, effectively. You know, you guys lost your motion to dismiss. Move on, you know? But I guess if they cite that as the reason to not convict, they're essentially engaging in jury nullification because they're ignoring the ruling of the Senate that it does have constitutional jurisdiction over this case. And so they would be derelict in their duties. They'd be violating their oath of office if that was their basis for deciding to acquit Trump.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, even screwed up and admitted the Senate has jurisdiction.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He wrote an op-ed or something, you know, and said, well, yeah, I mean, it's a close call, but I think he thinks, for instance, that the Senate would have jurisdiction over a former president who was found to, his example, was found to have taken bribes and accepted money from the Chinese in exchange for technology.
Okay.
What he was trying to do was dog whistle, harken back to some of the loopier shit that was said during the Clinton impeachment.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Charlie Tree? And he said, you know, there would be no doubt, you know, the Senate would have it. Well, guess what? If then, not here. This is, I don't profess to understand him, Rick. I don't.
No, and Trump, I mean, Trump criticized the looks of his wife and claimed that his father was somehow engaged in the
JFK assassination.
JFK assassination. And I mean, you know, and yet these guys like jump on board the train after they've been run over by it. Like, are they, I suppose they must have sustained brain injuries by being run over is the only conclusion I can draw.
It's as good as anything.
Yeah, right. It's all I got. That's all I got, Robin.
Well, oh, geez. There's very little left. Well, let's wander around and.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
I'm in the queue for John's show, so if I drop out, you'll know where I went.
Okay, that's cool. Tell John I said hi.
I'll come back. I'll be back and tell you what he said and what you wanted to hear.
Okay. Because I have a feeling there'll be a GD this and a right.
I'll let you know.
Just rubbing it in. Okay, well, bouncing it. Hey, Steve, Georgia Stan, Steve.
Ain't no mountain high. Thanks a lot, Joey, for getting that tune stuck in my head.
Yeah, I know. It's doing the same thing here.
It's in there now. It's in there now, and it also had a slight resurgence when Seth MacFarlane used it in a Family Guy episode.
Oh.
Little known fact, best takeaway line was there was a character, and he said, I got a bad feeling about the character named Suicide, so it's kind of funny when you watch it.
Well, that's like, I'm trying to think, for some reason or another, Asia's Heat of the Moment came on. Ferg and I were in the car.
Oh, that's another one.
And stuck. Ferg looked up and said, this song's ruined for me. Because all I hear, I only hear it in Cartman's voice.
Yeah, he did that with a Stick song, too.
Oh, yeah.
You remember,
Come Sail Away, yeah.
Oh, hilarious, man. Hilarious. But what begs the question for me about this whole impeachment thing, Robin, is, and I'm not the first one that says this, how are we going to look to the rest of the world when we acquit it with all this, quit this orange monster with all this overwhelming evidence?
And I think the managers, I forget which one it was, you know, they brought that to the forefront today because they put up, you know, visually, quotes from like the Supreme Ayatollah of Iran, the chairman of the International Relations Committee of Putin's parliament, you know, all saying, well, the Russian guy was positively giddy. He said, democracy's done. The United States is done with democracy. They can't even do it in their own country, and they've got no right to impose it on anybody else. Yeah, the genius is admitting that, you know, they have no interest in and of course they don't.
No. You know,
wasn't that Cicilline that did that?
Skedaddling. Yeah, I think it was. I think you're right, Sparky.
Yep, and 15 of them skedaddling. So it's not good. It's not good. It's another question for Rick, and if he's doing billable things, he can hop back in and answer this. Can the District of D.C. indict him for insurrection? Is that a thing? For inciting violence? Bob, Robin, you may even know the answer to that. Or will he claim double jeopardy? I don't think he can.
No, he's not. There's no jeopardy.
No, because it's not a trial.
It's not a criminal proceeding.
So I wonder if the powers that be in D.C. are considering that. If not, they should.
Well, that's the whole thing that I've been watching this whole thing thinking. And see, I still think it's tied to Mike Lee's hissy last night. Is that there could, down the road, be criminal prosecutions of everything related to this. And not, you know, not just the foot soldier, maggot, oaf keeper, you know, 3% brains assholes. This thing could go all the way to the top. That's part of why in that clip there that Trader Tot was squeaking like he was.
At a minimum, on a world stage, at least we wouldn't look like a banana republic or so much as one. So it ought to be considered.
You hope, but by the same token, well, I was chatting with Chris in Germany earlier, and I said the thing that's going to make me sickest is listening to these Republican fucks stand up and bark about how there ain't nothing there and poor little Trump didn't do nothing wrong. It's going to be nausea inducing. Now, and I presume, you tell me if you think otherwise, I presume this thing's going to wrap about 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Maybe 4.
They don't have 16 hours of material to fill. There's no way. I mean, you can't defend the indefensible. You can only pound on the table for so long before your fist gets sore.
Ross, the way I reported it, that they were going to wind it up tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't see it not.
Well, the fix is in. We're just spinning wheels. What a shame, man.
But the historical record had to be made.
Yeah.
And I confess it. I would have liked, and we all know what an ancient history nerd I am here, but some of this shit matters. And I would have appreciated the use of the word Catiline. Because if one of these senators, I mean, I'm sure, for instance, say Angus King of Maine, I know Angus King knows who Catiline was. And, maybe a couple of others. But if they would have used the word Catiline, it would have meant that the for-profit media would have to then go and look it up and learn. And then they would have had to tell their audience who Catiline was. And it would have made the perfidy of Nitwit Nero all the more clear. Because this, if you go and just look up Catiline on Wikipedia, you'll get a good overview. What happened on January 6th is very near to what Catiline did. He mobilized a mob to try to overturn Republican government in Rome, or at least that's the story that Cicero put out. And it would have added to the beneficial quantum of knowledge, of civic knowledge and civic understanding that this country mostly doesn't have. I mean, one of the things that just boggled my mind this morning earlier on MSNBC was seeing Choke Toad interview this woman named, I think, Nancy Mace from South Carolina. Member of the House, and she's an idiot. She said,
I had to turn that off.
You saw her then, right, Sparky?
Yeah.
It ain't fair to impeach a president when he ain't president no more. Yeah, well, ma'am, he was president when he was impeached. No, I mean, this impeachment. Well, he was president when this impeachment came through, too. Well, still, he didn't get no due process. That woman would, honest to God, that woman could not tell the difference between due process and shrimp and grits.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Robin?
I saw Steve in New York had his hand up. Go, Steve.
Yeah. Well, you know, because due process to her, she's sitting there wondering what water on grass has to do with process.
Yeah, it's the process by which the grass gets wet overnight, even if it don't rain.
Yeah.
Gentlemen.
I also wanted to explain Ted Cruz to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
He is a spineless fucking wimp.
Gutless coward, but I don't think we don't have to come to blows over that.
No, we don't have to. How about we just say both?
Yeah.
Hello, gentlemen.
Yeah, Kevin.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. I broke off. Yeah, apologies, but I've been trying to get in. This is all what is known. I don't know if they say it in the United States anymore. It's known as a Stalingrad defense. You know what a Stalingrad defense is in legal circles on this side of the Atlantic?
Lay it on me.
Okay. It's when you hire the most incompetent attorneys you can think of. And it's common practice in Florida. So you don't have to go to jail. He can hire and fire attorneys off and on. This is what I think it is. And correct me if I'm
wrong. Well, I mean, help me out. Flesh it out a little bit further. So you hire bad lawyers and you don't have to go to jail?
Yeah, you keep on firing them. Firing them, firing them, firing them. It's a common practice amongst older drug dealers. Hopefully he can live out his...
You there, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm there. I could be wrong, but this is what is known as a Stalingrad defense. Hello?
Yeah. Interesting. I've never heard that term before.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, he's got to face New York. He's got to face... That's where he's going to be broke. His kids can go to jail and everything forthwith. Georgia is nothing. Congress is political theater. And I could be wrong. I'm going on my 1 year paralegal education. So...
Interesting. Okay. Billable Rick's got a hand up.
Yeah, hey.
I'm going to leave because Mrs. Grant is getting on my case now.
Okay, well, give Mrs. Kevin our fondest regards, and I want to hear from you about the suspension of the COVID-19 vaccine trials in South Africa there when you get
a
minute.
I'll write you in, okay?
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Take care, Kevin.
Yeah. Kevin had a good point there. I've never heard it referred to as the Stalingrad defense, but there are certain, you know, criminal defendants who do keep changing their lawyers, and so they keep getting continuances of the trial. You know, in to the point where it's like, you know, years post indictment, and then I guess, you know, if the defendant's up in years, then they eventually may just tip over and never have to face the bar of justice. That's not uncommon, but just by hiring an incompetent lawyer, it's not going to prevent you from going to jail. And I don't even know if the lawyers necessarily have to be incompetent. You just keep changing horses, And so you hire a new counsel.
But I mean, but at this point in time, he can't can him again. I mean,
they're stuck.
Yeah.
He's stuck with the, Mr. Castor Oil and, Mr. Show him the door. I guess, that's who he's got. I don't see that. He's going to get new counsel this time. I just hope that they, follow the three rules of being an attorney. Get payment up front. They probably did, if they're smart, knowing how much of a thief Donald is.
That's a big if, Rick. Real big if.
Well, you'd think these guys would be smart enough to know that, So. I mean, I would think Donald could probably use some of his, he could probably legitimately use his, $250 million that he raised, towards his legal defense.
Yeah, but then that wouldn't be money in his pocket anymore.
Well, it's true, but that was never his money to begin with. He raised it from third parties.
So that Rick, that ain't how he sees it.
Well, I know, but that's true. But he is spending other people's money for his legal defense. So it's, not like it's money that he had beforehand. And apparently he made more money with this graft than he ever had before, with this grift than he ever had before.
In this case, though, it went to a PAC, and that PAC money could be distributed however he wants to distribute it.
Yeah, including to his legal defense, I think. I think that was one of the provisions for people who donated less than a certain amount of money. They were notified that it could be used for Donald's legal defense. So I suppose this would be broad enough to, you could call this a legal defense, impeachment trial.
Rick, are you feeling okay? You sound a little puny.
Let's see here. Let's see if this is better here. Is that better?
No, I mean, you sound like you're sick. You're coming down, as we say in the
South. Yeah, puny's a hillbilly word, Rick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm fine.
Is it the COVID, Rick?
Do you think you have the Rona?
No.
It's not funny, Vinny.
Oh, no.
No, good.
No, it's not. I guess I'm just tired out from the week. That's all.
Yeah, all worn out on the golf course. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, tough.
How many tenths of a? I was going to ask you, how many tenths of a minute do you bill for a 3-putt?
Tenths of a minute. There you go.
Glad I didn't call it today.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I don't. I guess I have to pay myself for that. Yeah. I did okay. I got like a 13 over on a par 60. Got a birdie, but it took me till the 17th hole. I putted from the kind of the short rough, so I got it in. Took long enough, though. I missed a bunch of birdie putts before that. Not really long putts either, maybe 8 feet. 8-footers, missed a couple of those.
Oh, I need to send out thanks to Will in Chicago. Thank you, Will, so very much. We're down to only $60 to go on Charlene and Rogues Island's Triumph Challenge. Then there's a $25 challenge from Ralph's, and then there's another $100 challenge from Joey and Giraffe, the Ain't No Mountain High Enough Challenge. So $60 more finishes the first, and then we'll move on to the rest. That's very helpful. Thank you, Will, and thanks to everybody else who's jumped in so far. I got a note from Matt in San Francisco. We need more marginalized people in the Senate. We folks at the margins understand what it's like to have people in the world that want to do you harm, have you fired, and even kill you. But unlike some in the Senate, we wake up every day, live our truth, and do the right thing regardless of the noise from the religious whack jobs. Those in the Senate need to get a spine and do what's right. I'm sick of hearing about them calculating all the angles and trying to get through this without standing for anything. And that is exactly what's going on. Well, I mean, let's see, I can do the right thing, And I can uphold my oath to the Constitution, or I cannot be, or and then I won't get to be a senator no more, because I'm going to get either primaried or maybe even shot by the folks back home, who were in fact stupid enough to elect me in the first place. Or I can just pucker up my lips and ask Donald Trump to bend over and kiss him where I've been kissing him for the last 4 years. But Matt's absolutely right. We do need more marginalized people in the Senate. The number grows. We have a few people from the LGBTQ community in the Senate, but not near enough. We don't have enough people of color. The Senate certainly doesn't look like America, either in terms of gender or in terms of ethnicity, by any stretch of the imagination. And of course, you've got the South to thank for a lot of that. At least California finally. And I thought he offered. I saw him interviewed earlier today. Alex Padilla. He brought some good points because he's a former Secretary of State, California Secretary of State. And, you know, he knew of which he was speaking when he was talking about, when he was refuting the idea of stolen elections and all of that crap. I thought he did a fine job. But someday there'll be representation for everybody in the Senate. But not now.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
Anything new on the our young friend Arian Ute Rittenhouse sighting?
Yeah. Ralph sent me a brand new story just now, a little bit ago. As of today, the prosecution went into court with young. On the matter of Mr. Rittenhouse, and they asked him for a new arrest warrant because, you know, he's gone missing.
Yeah.
And he didn't update his address. So, the prosecutor, an assistant, Kenosha County DA by the name of Thomas Binger, moved the court for a $200,000 increase in his bond, and asked, and somebody familiar with Wisconsin politics can probably answer this question, give me the political party of Judge Bruce Schroeder, I'll bet he's a Republican, asked him for a new arrest warrant and a $200,000 increase in bond, and Schroeder, out of hand, refused both of the motions, and apparently it got nasty with the judge saying, well, people out on bail, wrong accent, I know, they don't update their addresses when they move, and we don't arrest them. So he told Rittenhouse's lawyer, a guy by the name of Mark Richards, to give the court Rittenhouse's current physical address, and said it would be sealed to the public, and only he and the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department would know what it was. And that got all kinds of under Mr. Binger's skin, because he said, I hope you're not suggesting sharing this with our office would lead to further violence. We're not the public. We're the prosecuting agency. I've never heard of a situation where the information has been withheld from my office. And Judge Schroeder said, well, you know, the sheriff can handle anything like that with a bail violation or anything. Only problem is, Rittenhouse is not within the jurisdiction of the sheriff of Kenosha County. The sheriff can't do, and this is a complicated legal term, the sheriff can't do dick.
So this judge sounds like a white supremacist. Is that safe to say?
At the very least, a maggot or a Republican.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's a good update. Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I understand why Binger's hot under the collar. I might have just gone back to my office and started pecking away on a judicial complaint.
Yeah, as Jim Morrison used to sing, there's a killer on the road.
Yeah, that little and the thing is, it's probably a secret because the little fuckers hold up with some Proud Boys.
Of course.
They're the ones that help bail him out, and, well, you know, them and Mr. Pillow and, oh, who was that other asshole?
Ricky Schroeder.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Ricky Schroeder.
Ricky Schroeder. Oh, I'm coming up with another a theme song for Mike Lindell, and it's going to be sung to the tune of the Rolling Stones, Street Fightin' Man, and it's going to be Pillow Biting Man.
Wait, yeah, oh, that's beautiful. Pillow Biting Man. Yeah. Jesus. Oh, by the way, Steve in New York's worried that Billable Rick's rheumatiz is acting up.
Get him some rheumatiz, Madison. What the hell's the deal here?
That shit's about 150 proof.
Listen, in regards to Mr. Lindell and his MyPillow, I would sooner sleep on a pillow made of doorknobs, broken toasters, and dirty hair than spend a nickel to buy one of his stupid pillows. I could make, well, you know this, I could make one.
And Scotty, buffalo chips, too.
Now, do you mean the snack that you eat at the football game, or do you mean actual coming out in the buffalo chips? Those are the organic buffalo chips, buffalo, my friend.
I do buffalo chip pillows.
Well, that'd be buddy chips in this room.
Oh, yeah, beefalo. Sorry, beefalo chips.
Yeah, buffalo chips, won't you come out tonight? Won't you come out tonight?
Hey, is now a good time to hawk the fact that David Hogg is developing a pillow company called Good Pillow?
I heard something about that. I think that's hilarious.
Really, Megan?
Yep. Saw it on Twitter, on his Twitter account. He's been hawking it. Yep.
Good. Maybe I'll buy that one.
Well, there's a corporate sponsor for you there, Robin.
Yeah, that'd be lovely. Yeah, Mr. Pillow.
I think he's calling it Good Pillow.
Well, I ran across something, and you know, we were very busy Wednesday evening, but I was hoping we might have time to. Joey's always good about pointing out when performers pass away and the like. The world has lost a brilliant pianist. Chick Corea has passed away.
Oh, that sucks. That's terrible.
Oh, man.
He found out he had cancer, and didn't take near the time that it's taken to take Rush Limbaugh. But he was 79.
That's because meanness preserves you like a salt mackerel.
Yeah, evil is a preservative. I like the salt mackerel reference, though.
The Darth Chaney and Sith Lord McConnell.
So you'll get a kick out of this. This is just too good. I referenced the fact that Mike Lee, that constitutional scholar, was skeered that the Iranians wearing their secret double secret probation maggot hats was the ones attacking the Capitol. Well, Ayatollah Abbas Tabrizian in Iran has made a declaration to his 210,000 followers on the messaging app Telegram. He said, "Don't get the COVID vaccine." Why would he say that, Robin? Somebody said. Anybody want to do that?
Why would they say that? Why would he say that, Robin?
Well, because according to Ayatollah Abbas Tabrizian, if you get the vaccine, people who have gotten it and this is a quote from the Farsi, have become homosexuals. And from the news account, like other clerics in the regime, also Tabrizian relates all the shortages, shortcomings to sexuality. Shana Vojudi, an Iranian dissident who fled the Islamic Republic of Iran due to repression, told the Jerusalem Post on Sunday, the clerics in Iran are suffering from lack of knowledge and humanity. Somewhere in there, I think they're probably suffering from a lack of some brains while they're at it. Actually, his goal of spreading nonsense is to try to scare people out of getting vaccinated while the leader of the regime and other officials got Pfizer, and they don't provide it for the people with the excuse that they don't trust the West. But, well, it takes some of the starch out of him because for a guy who's worried about the vaccine turning you all homosexual, it was back in March when Ayatollah Tabrizian said that you could cure the Rona if you'd just put some violet oil up your butt. Yep, and that
please
was,
tell me you didn't no. hear that right before dinner.
And what would the applicator be, Robin? What was used as an applicator for that, Robin?
I don't know if the violet oil comes with an applicator or if it's strictly DIY, Chris.
Violet oil up the wazoos? Really?
Up the old wazoo.
Huh. Smells like violets. Read the card. Read the card.
Why, he's been sitting in a tub of cashmere bouquet, my friend.
Liberace applicator sold separately, right?
No, you have to use the shiny hiney to apply it.
I was waiting for somebody.
That's it. Well,
buff my butt.
I'm stealing that one, Scott.
That's perfect.
Go ahead.
Buff my butt.
I want to know. And I don't mean to.
Okay, who's echoing? Somebody's messing up.
I think it's me. Yeah, it is me. No, it's not me. It's like being married again. Everything I say, I hear right away back at me, only with a mean tone. I don't mean to paint with too broad a brush, but if what vaccine have the Republicans already taken? I have never seen a more temperamental, bitchy group in my life than these people. Their feelings must be, their feelers must be right there at the surface of the skin. You can't look at them crossways without them getting all hurt. And I just don't know with these people.
Go figure.
I just don't know. I just don't know.
So Matt in San Francisco said, wait, homosexual from a vaccine? Hasn't the Ayatollah gotten the memo from the White Wing? It's no longer in fashion to tie everything to homosexuals. The new flavor of the month is trans people. That mullah is so 2012. And he is. He absolutely... We're in charge of the volcanoes now, motherfucker. God almighty. Ralph's asking, was her challenge met yet? And I have to sadly say no. If we can get 60 more in and then 25, that'll wipe out Ralph's challenge. So $85, that's where we stand. Sorry, don't mean to just hammer on it, but that's what it is. violet oil. You know, I'm surprised Pat Robertson isn't hawking that stuff. Because it was, what, 10, 15 years ago that he was selling Sea of Galilee mud mask? I'll never forget Peter Godbolt just practically losing his mind on the air. Really? Really? So I don't know how this, you know, God only knows what the algorithms are doing. But I was looking for something on Amazon the other night. The next morning I woke up and my Amazon deal of the day was, and I kid you not, Aztec Secret Indian Healing Clay, world's most powerful facial, deep pore cleansing.
Now, wait a minute, Robin. That stuff does work.
Aztec Secret Indian Healing Clay?
Yes, that's the name they give it, but it clears up your face.
Because I was trying to figure out how it was that, because I know some Aztec secrets. And I immediately wrote to my buddy, Dr. John Roby, and I said, I got a feeling they haven't heard of Shippy Totec. and he writes back, yes, and says, yeah, the secret's a whole lot of blood and some skin.
I don't need blood to mix the mask. Apple cider vinegar.
I immediately thought of Sea of Galilee mud mask and wondered if Pat Robertson would be hawking it anytime soon.
Nope. If you need to clear up your face, like in particular, and I have heard women of color or black women in particular say that they use it to clean their hair because it keeps the moisture balance in their hair.
It says on the label, pure bentonite clay.
Bentonite clay, yeah. But it's something called diatomaceous earth, which
I've heard of that.
Keep fleas. It's also a kind of bentonite, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I thought it said bentonite on the bag. And you use it. People use it to keep fleas away from... Apparently, it's not harmful to mammals, but if you have an exoskeleton, it's like glass that just slices you up.
If you have an exoskeleton?
Yes, like insects.
Well, let's send Rush Limbaugh some.
or Ted Cruz. Yeah, Ted Cruz. Watch out.
Diatomaceous earth is the skeletons of some very small types of animals that settled at the bottom of the lake, and then it's kind of a it's a sedimentary from the exoskeletons of a very small being, and it's got very sharp edges on it, and if you put it down and fleas and that kind of thing crawl over it, the sharp edges of the diatomaceous earth cause problems with the joints of the exoskeleton pests you're trying to get rid of.
But they won't light?
It's also used to keep the bugs out of feed in farms, I believe, because they sell it at Tractor Supply. And I think they use it as a deworming for animals.
Well, it's a natural high in mineral product. It's not a chemically done, and yes, it's used as a pesticide, but it's not specifically an insecticide such as malathion or one of the other ones. But it does, I mean, it's really helpful with grasshoppers, sow bugs, pole bugs, or what people call it, and other creepy crawlers in your garden, and you can use it and still be called organic.
Yeah, I think I use it in my cat's litter boxes, and I think they would lick it off. It wasn't harmful to them, but it was. I think it did a lot of like the deworming and kept that stuff down.
Wow. Well, mentioning Pat Robertson hawking Sea of Galilee mud mask. Reminded me something. He cured somebody on the air, and this is always good fun. Catching up with Prayer Meeting Wednesday.
Somebody is the name of Nerva out there. It looks like there's a lump in your right breast, and it's cancer. And God is going to heal it. You'll feel like a burning in that breast. You want to touch it, do so, and God has just healed you in Jesus' name. Terry?
Yeah. He's healing mystery breast cancers on his program now. Well, I mean, not now. He's been doing that silly shtick for a while, but Is the name Minerva? Nancy? No, it's not. Ophelia? You want to touch it?
So, liquor supply officer, he's moved into the breast checking business now?
Well, I mean, I think he's just enjoying thinking about telling women to touch their breasts or something. Oh, dear.
What?
Yeah, you can touch it if you want to.
Megan, you're going to get in line?
No, that's okay. We're good. Why is he? I can't get past Pat Robertson. Why is he hawking beauty products?
Well, I mean, he'll do anything for a buck.
But why beauty products?
He was on his. Well, he hawked a power beverage that said he allowed him at the tender age of, you know, however ancient he is, it allowed him to leg press 600 pounds.
What the hell?
It's Matt. You know, you got to have something for everybody. It's kind of like, you know, you don't want Alex Jones's paleo chocolate chicken bone beverage. Well, you know, he's probably got he's got a nice lip balm. God only knows what that's made out of.
That beverage chicken that Pat was hawking, was that the one where he gave the recipe for that people could make at home on their own?
Or oh, hell no. You got to buy it straight from him. Well, I mean, straight or not.
Okay. Because he used to, I have it around here somewhere, a recipe that he says he drinks, you know, a tumbler of it every day. And it's like 30% flaxseed oil. So you're in there reading the magazine, sitting for a while.
Well, no, the best part was the video of him, and this is a way back when, but the video of him actually tasting his own paleo chicken bone chocolate beverage. The face he made. I don't know if he's. I don't know if he sold anymore after that because it was like must not vomit.
Vitamita Megumin. Exactly.
Oh, we have a technical question coming from Cynthia in the Bay Area. Hey, as a trans woman, can I touch my breasts too? Honey, they're yours. You worked for them. You can touch them all you want. Cynthia adding a little bit ago, as far as Mr. Pillow, I'd rather sleep on a pillow filled with rat shit contaminated with hantavirus than lay my head on one of those damn My Pillows. Yeah. Oh, and Robert in Australia says, wash your hair with beer. This is from back before the internet. It was in a book. I read that you should wash your hair with beer. It restores the natural pH balance without damaging your skin. Or you could wash your hair from the inside out with beer. Does all kinds of things. But Robert adds, oh, by the way, why did God let her get breast cancer in the first place? Well, you see, that was the devil, Robert. Because there's just some things where, you know, the devil's got it all over the Almighty. Who
the yin to the yang.
Yeah, he's not quite so, the mighty part isn't quite so all as advertised. But, you know, we talk about this March 4th nonsense. It really, I'm not kidding, it is not going away. And, you know, we clown around with the Ayatollah and Pat Robertson and stuff, but some of these people, I mean, we can go, ha-ha, but they've proven that they have the ability to spread bullshit broad enough and thick enough and deep enough that they can get people to act on it. And so, consequently, this prophet named Jeff Janssen, he's still not happy about Biden and Biden being in the White House, and he's done had a vision. Because, see, remember, in America, anybody who hears voices talking to them that are not their own, we generally think that they probably need some mental health help. Unless you claim it is religiously derived, and then somehow you're special. Get this. I mean, it's... Jesus. These people.
That would be touched by Michael Landon, Robin.
Yeah. So, here.
Bible, or supposed Bible. Someone said it's upside down. I don't know if it was, but they put a hand on a Bible, said the right word.
Now, I'm going to back this up because I didn't have the audio all the way to where it needed to be. But they're obsessed with the Bibles. Remember when they said that Kamala Harris didn't really take her oath on the Bible like she's supposed to? Yeah. And, you know, there's a terrifyingly huge number of Americans who will buy into this crap. I mean, get this.
There was an inauguration. He put his hand on a Bible, or a supposed Bible. Someone said it's upside down. I don't know if it was, but they put a hand on a Bible, said the right words, and now people say, okay, now he's our president. Now we have to pray for our president.
No, he's not our president. He is not, nor will he ever be. And this, everybody knows, there was a red tidal wave. There was a Red Sea moment, which is a red tidal wave. And quite frankly, America voted in Donald J. Trump. President Trump is president. We will be rejoicing in the streets by March, April, May, June. There's going to be an amazing turnaround. You just watch what happens. And the world will rejoice. Not just America, the world will rejoice because of this exposure. And so I'm telling you, that's going to take place. That you know, I'm going down with the ship on this. The Lord showed me this.
Yeah, God bless. Well, yeah, not really. But the people at Right Wing Watch who sit around and watch this garbage, it's breathtaking, and it's in the breadth of its stupidity.
I think Biden needs a whole team of cult deprogrammers to get this country out of this crap. Because I don't know how the hell. I mean, this is like unlike I've ever seen. Did anybody watch any cult documentaries that might provide insight into this mess? Because I got nothing.
You know, those guys sound like they were drinking too much Jesus blood to me.
Oh, wait, okay.
Hold on a minute, though. This guy...
Yeah, go, Jeremy.
This guy just gave himself a four-month window for when this day could happen. Nothing normal. Hey, it's going to happen June 5th. Put on your magic sneaker and drink the potion. He gave himself a four-month window.
Yeah, but you'll notice, and it's not because this is February and next comes March. That March nonsense is, whether we like it or not, among the real Lulus, of whom there are far too many, getting legs. It is. By the way, hey, Jeremy. Okay, Sparky had his hand up after Jeremy. Go, Sparky.
Oh, I'm back, Bob.
Oh, okay. How's John?
Philip. Oops. Well, one of the things he said, it was unconstitutional that I was getting a delivery.
And he's absolutely damn right. No, that's not, and no damn fair.
He ranted and raved, and I told him all the blends I was getting, because he has a thing about saying when he smokes his pipe, it's a Cavendish blend, and it could be pot, it could be tobacco, you don't know.
Yeah.
So.
It's just a way of holding off the raids. I
got good news for you.
Yeah.
Bernadette says your Breeze Priest will be in the your salve will be in your mailbox tomorrow.
Yes, it will. I've been tracking it all along the way. I'm terribly excited. I can't wait. I'm headed for the mailbox tomorrow. I am truly excited, and I'm so grateful to Bernadette for it. I had a question. Somebody wants to know if you've ever tried the Snoop's Daydream variety, saying, I hear good things.
I didn't see that on their shopping list.
Well, apparently Snoop's Daydream is a good shit, man.
It may be a Southern California thing.
Possible.
Because I don't know what growers is out Queen of Dragons used, but I mean, they probably support local growers because Roger knows who they are and probably get most of their stuff from the coast.
The Queen of Dragons is a lady that I met at the Democratic State Convention in California a couple of times when I was doing those. And basically, it's a cooperative of several farmers, and she sort, well, it used to generally source from the people in Humboldt, Trinity, and Siskiyou counties.
Yeah, so that, so that's why I probably doesn't have that Snoop Dogg blend.
Well, people in Humboldt and Trinity counties have been creating strains for years and years and years, and some of your most, theoretically, some of the highest THCs 5 to 10 years ago were all coming out of what's called the Emerald Triangle.
Yep.
Because that was where people were off in the middle of nowhere, did their own hybridizing and all that kind of stuff. So, no telling. I mean, like here in Oregon, you can get a sheet from a nursery, and they've got hundreds, theoretically, of different hybridizations, and they're all listed down to what percentage of sativa, what percentage of what's the other one, indica, and what the THC and CBD percentages are. And so if you want to go for CBD percentages, you grow those strains. And if you want to go the high THC, you go those strains. And Rainbow Sherbet is supposed to be in excess of 20% THC.
So it's going to be good.
That gets you where you're going in a hurry. By the way, a further addition, courtesy of Darlene in Connecticut, diatomaceous earth in powder form is really good for pets to rid them of fleas, but you have to make sure it's for pets and not what they use for pools or in pools. Apparently, I guess it can be a bad thing that way. It's also sold, Arnold in PA tells me it's sold as oil dry, you know, for like oil spills on your garage floor. And said it's miserable for that job. The things I learned.
Yeah, but that
well, I'm going to get some of that for Grady then.
In food grade and in commercial and agricultural grade. So if you're going to be using it for anything that might be your pet might lick or something like that, you probably want to go to the food grade side. But if you're using it to scatter around the base plants, you can go for the agricultural grade. Which is cheaper.
Billable Rick has his hand up.
Well, now let me step in here a second, just because we're on the agricultural side. My Ahi Capaguita peppers, my Brandywine tomatoes, and my early jalapenos, and my Italia pepperoncini, and my Cherokee purple, and the Ahi Amarillo seeds all got put down for germination today.
Oh, how cool.
So I can pot them up and grow them in their, underneath their lights and on the mat and be able to put them out in another 6 to 8 weeks. But I'll give a germination update next Friday.
Sounds cool. And let me just add one thing, and then we'll go on to Billable Rick. We were talking brines a week or so ago. Yeah. I made myself a nice salty white vinegar brine. And I've got a jar here that formerly held pepperoncinis. It is now empty. And I made a white vinegar salt brine, salt, of course. Threw in a big handful of chili tapines and piquin chilies. And it's been sitting for about 3 days now, and it just gets better and better and better. And since they were dried, they weren't smoked or anything. But it's imparting a nice smoky quality to the brine, and the heat is beginning to be present in it. So it's making real nice for slurping.
Well, it should clear your sinuses if you leave it long enough.
Oh, I'm hoping for it. Yeah, boy.
All right, could somebody feed me back the name of that strain that you were just talking about a bit ago?
Which strain?
The marijuana strain from Southern Cal.
The one Parkey said?
Oh, no. No. That was Snoop's Daydream.
Oh, Snoop's Daydream.
Sparky, what was the banana one you said?
Banana sherbet.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Or no, rainbow sherbet.
Yeah, there was a banana one months and months, maybe over a year ago.
I tried ordering that. I couldn't order it today. I screwed it up. But I ordered the rainbow sherbet.
Nice.
That's the one the kid grew last year. One of the strains he grew last year.
So I'll give you a report tomorrow.
All right. Well, wait a minute. Tomorrow is... Oh, yeah, tomorrow. Okay. Tomorrow. I keep missing what day of the week it is. Anyhow, time for
Rick to go. Tomorrow's the real Friday on the front porch.
Yeah, well...
And tomorrow we will have the nobody's really expecting my, it ain't going to be like the ending of Perry Mason defense presentation.
And John Brimbo
who knows what they're going to pull out of their ass.
Okay, one at a time, what?
John Brimbo said he's going to try and make it tomorrow.
Oh, cool. It'd be great to hear from him.
Isn't Joe Pesci up for the defense tomorrow?
I think so. Yes. No, not Joe Pesci. It's the guy. It's the guy that got fired. Well, never mind.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm answering a question here.
Well, tomorrow is going to be awful to watch, I think.
Oh, it's painful.
It's going to be an example tomorrow of what not to do as a lawyer.
In honor of Trump's defense coming to bat tomorrow in the Senate and the House dining rooms, they're going to be serving, ready, tater torts. So, You want to get in line early for that, boys and girls.
Did you ever get to Rick? Robin, he still has his hand up.
Yeah, I did. Or, no, okay. But go ahead. Thank you. No, go, Billable. Billable Rick.
Well, I'm going to lower his hand then.
Well, I'm sorry. I wasn't meaning to ignore. I have a sneaking suspicion we have...
You're supposed to be hand monitor.
I'm no good at it.
Steve's supposed to be hand monitor.
I called it out 5 minutes ago, Surly. Back off.
Children, play nice. But I think we may have the Todd in South Carolina stand on the stress line. Is that true?
Might be true, America.
It might be.
How's everybody?
Not quite as horrified as yesterday. Yesterday was real PTSD-ish.
I'm not going to stutter. I've been listening, and I fear a lot. I think all of us are thinking the same thing. What are our law representatives, our Congress, thinking about? I mean, the job is not worth all that. Their names are going to be shit in the history books.
Well, not if maggots get to write the history books, Todd.
Whoa, wait a minute. Now you're talking about a whole other documentary now. You're talking about the South Rose again and everything's twisted.
Well, I mean, isn't that where we're headed?
Yes, it could be. It could be. It could be. Because as this show has shown, right, has displayed, the corruption is deep. It's in the court system. It's in the military. It's in law enforcement, FBI. But at some point, I just don't understand how people can watch the video. It's like, you know what? This is what I thought about last night. And I don't know, maybe somebody can just maybe they were thinking the same thing. But these folks have engaged in a projection now for years from the very base level all the way to the top. When you have people saying we're defending the Constitution and the electoral votes were being counted as following the Constitution, and, you know, how is tearing down the Capitol following the Constitution? It's just, it's so much here. It's just really breathtaking.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much to unpack. But the bottom line is, what you'll hear tomorrow and from then on, from these maggots is, well, they didn't show no video of Donald Trump being there. He weren't there. He didn't have nothing to do with it.
Well, Steve in Georgia and I have been monitoring Washington Journal. Probably me more than Steve. I don't know. I get to sneak it in. Well, you know, these folks, this is what I have to say. And I need some feedback on this from everyone. Like, we all understand that maybe, like, they need deprogramming, obviously, because it's like Bizarro World. They just don't understand what they're doing is wrong because they're rationalizing because they feel like this is how to protect the country in their mind. So what do we do with these folks? They're never going to be.
But Todd, who's attacking the country? That's how it all falls apart for these freaks. We're protecting the country. Okay, the Germans, the Russians, the Chinese, the Mexicans, the Uruguayans are coming. No. I mean, they're pretty much aligned with the Russians. Remember how the Sons of the Old Confederacy formed a transatlantic alliance with the Sacred Order of White People of Mother Russia or whatever the hell it was? Remember that?
Well, yeah. They understand where the real Caucasians come from.
No, right. So they're saving, the people they're saving the country from are their fellow Americans who happen to be not sufficiently white.
Well, you get into semantics now, because what they call Americans are a certain group. And it's not inclusive.
And who gets to be in the club is determined entirely, solely, and exclusively by them.
Oh, okay. Did we all hear Morning Joe this morning, or look at it, or get pieces and bits?
Slipped in.
I caught it. You caught it. Okay, yes. I have to give, you know, you're supposed to, before you tear something down, you're supposed to, like, you know, concede a point. All right, so Joe has been very good. The program is very good about repeating the term cop killers to try to equate, because it appears that these folks that we don't agree with have a problem just admitting they kill cops. They attack the Capitol. They engage in treasonous acts. It's like trespassing doesn't cut it. It's the timing. But, you know, that's beyond, they can't get to that point. And that's a problem. Can we agree on that?
Yes. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I don't. Okay. Right.
And I've only heard Morning Joe really hone in on that point, the cop killer, because of, I don't know, this is my perspective, my take on it is that it's very difficult for a lot of Americans to accept the fact that people who look like their brothers, mothers, daughters, sons, sisters, kill police and attack the Capitol. Because it's just so disgusting that they're having a problem with it, you know, using the proper terms. So, you know, accolades to Joe for doing that. And this is totally off topic, but I'm just saying this from someone who has been in schools all over this country, and I know we have school teachers here. When he and Mika got into it about teachers being forced back to work into schools, that's like saying schools equals black people. It's not monolithic. This is very important. Schools are different. When you go to school in Littleton, Colorado, or in California. Those schools are, most parts of California, those schools are different than Newark or Elizabeth or Philadelphia or D.C., where they had very old schools with stagnant air. And now that we know this is really primarily an airborne disease, you can't make a blanket statement like that. You can't force you should not be able to force teachers back into school without vaccines. It is ridiculous. I did not like that this morning. Mika had it right. I know we have school teachers. Didn't we have somebody who got a job in Chicago? They've been looking.
Will in Chicago is a teacher. Roger there is a retired teacher.
Right. See, I started off substituting when I was still an undergraduate, and then when I was full time at the university for 10 years and. You know, full-time 10 years. A major part of my job in the beginning was data collection all over the country. I've been to a lot of schools. And a matter of fact, that was one of the first conversations we ever had. The first conversation we were talking about schools. They're not all made the same. There's an elementary school I went to. It was old when I went to it. It was built at the turn of the last century. You know, it's just the airflow is not there. Now, on the West Coast, in California, you know, they knocked shit down after 20 years. They rebuilt. The schools in Littleton, Colorado, they're nice. They're airy. So, in other words, what I'm saying is that when Joe said you've got to follow the science, that's probably an aggregate, which is fine if you're talking about polling. But when you're talking about people's lives, I can't tell you the countless numbers of teachers that have been dying in this state because they've been forced to go back. And I just had to get it off my chest because I got really upset when I heard that this morning. And maybe someone who's working in schools right now.
Over the country, we've got to go back to school itch. And yet,
hey, Robin.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I made a lot of money remodeling schools, and our schools are open here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in California. Now, yeah. Right, and exactly. And see, remember, it's not like we were spending money on school infrastructure and all of a sudden these schools are up to grade. Are you kidding? Like, I can see Martha Washington at 40-something in Aspen in West Philadelphia in what's called Mantua. Nickname is the bottom. It's right up against Penn. It's right up on the 30th Street train yard. This school is so old. I mean, there were holes in the wall, in the bathroom, the soap. Water might be hot one day, maybe not. It was just terrible. You see, that's not, you can't make a blanket statement about school. I just get so upset when I hear that. And they're already nasty, dirty. That's the sickest you'll ever be is when you go, if you can make it being a school teacher in an inner city school, you know, an older school, it has no money. Because remember, schools are primarily financed by property tax. Local property tax. So, folks in the South, and maybe people don't want to hear it, but it's just, we need to understand the bigger picture here. Of course, people need their kids out of the house so they can go to work if they have a job. We understand that. But don't tell teachers they can't have vaccines and you're forcing them to go to work. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. Okay, I'm done with that.
No, but I get it. I mean, if you're going to force teachers back into schools, you're also forcing the janitorial staff, the maintenance staff, the kitchen staff, everybody. If you're going to do that, then you have to give them every fighting chance they can have. For instance, I finally saw a story, Todd, out of the CDC. It was published by Agence France-Presse. And the CDC performed a study in which they simulated particles relative to how much masks help. And so in this particular study, let's see, an unknotted medical mask just by itself, I guess that's the little blue, you know, the little blue throwaway mask, right? It blocked 42% of particles from a simulated cough.
Pizza zero.
The cloth mask all by itself blocked 44%. But then when they did it with both masks combined, it blocked 92%. Now, this isn't breathing. This isn't, you know, part of cough part. I don't understand if this is cough particles coming in or if this is blocking cough particles behind the mask. So, adding a cloth mask over a medical mask or knotting and tucking the medical mask to fit better reduce the cumulative exposure of the unmasked receiver by 82% and 63% respectively. And so when you're talking about the emerging variants, the South African variant, the British variant, the LA variant, what makes these things more virulent is it takes fewer particles to get you sick.
That's it.
And so the more particles you block, the better off you are. Now this, but the problem here relative to Merca and other parts of the world is that this information is valuable only to people who take masking seriously in the first damn place. This is not going to matter to the mask hole COVIDiots or the sub-nose COVIDiots or anybody else.
But let's go back to what you said really quick. When you talk, and I'll shut up. But see, what you brought up are just wonderful points. Because you have to remember, when you're coughing, well, we know it's sneeze, the velocity and distance of a sneeze. We all know that now. We've seen it.
Ballistics.
It's incredible. Right. And even a cough, that's high velocity. So at some point, common sense has to dictate that you know it's escaping. The particles are escaping. Now, I use double masks at work now because we have the official mask that has our city seal on it. And we have great surgical masks that are provided to us. But at the same time now, I'm seeing in the paper, we're the second most dangerous state. Because, you know, folks don't wear masks. Our whole police department has been decimated. They don't even do stops anymore. They're all sick because they don't like to wear masks. So all this gets complicated. Then you're talking about kids. And then back to the infrastructure in the schools. Remember, a lot of these schools, they sealed up windows in the 70s for energy efficiency. They don't get funding to fix stuff. It's just, you know, slap.
And make no mistake, you were talking about Philly and Newark and whatnot. It's not exactly like West Virginia's crawling in new schools. I mean, and, you know, we went through the consolidation craze and built some, but no. I mean, Mississippi, Alabama, they don't, you know, they just don't much care either.
They don't much care. Do you know our state constitution says that the state is only required to provide a minimally adequate education?
Yeah. It's kind of like how our buddy Dan Fisher says, you know, this is perfectly adequate radio. Oh, Scott's had his hand up for a while. Scott?
Yes. Scott, you're old, man.
Yeah, I'm here, man. Hey, man. I had to unmute. Todd. I want to run something by Todd. Now, I watched
Morning Joe
today.
Yeah, I hear
you.
Everybody hears everybody.
I watched Morning Joe. I watched Morning Joe this morning. And when they entered into that thing about the schools opening or the schools not opening, one of the things that I thought I heard Joe Scarborough say was, you know, Biden has to support opening the schools and forget about the teachers union because he's got to respect science. Especially after he chastised Trump for either misrepresenting science or ignoring it altogether, words to that effect. What is that argument? That doesn't seem to be the way to argue this. I mean, yes, I agree that.
That's why I brought up.
Go ahead.
That's why I brought up the accuracy. He's going by numbers, and see that he's trying to pull people into that science argument. Like we've been saying that the Republicans don't believe in science and their scopes, monkey babies, and that, you know. And I get that, but when was the last time he was in a public school in different places in the country? I don't think he understands that some of these schools were built in the 1880s, 1920, 1940. If we haven't been putting money into schools, culture. You see, and you know, right. And you know, in California, you know, they don't let anything get too old in California. They knock it down, they rebuild. They don't, you don't have a whole lot of old shit. Maybe Northern California, maybe Sacramento, but, you know, once you get, I don't know. That's what I've seen, and that's everybody I know. That's what they say. Does that seem correct to you?
Well, I did not go to school here in California. I was a full-grown adult by the time I got here. But as I recall, because of California, especially in the wake of World War II, you know, after World War II was over, and everybody making the exodus out here and the building up the suburbs and stuff, you have reasonably new schools. But if we're talking about buildings that were built in, let's say, the late 40s or early or mid 50s, those are really old structures, you know, and the science of building and architecture and design and airflow and, you know, just any number of things, it's a lot different. Well, even the 70s. When they started hermetically sealing buildings in the 70s to save energy, it was like living in a, not a petri dish, but living in a cocoon, an airtight cocoon. And you've got, if you don't have decent air filtration and air circulation, you know, one person could start with a cold in an office, and by the end of the month, everybody's out sick. And we're talking about way more than a cold.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That, I mean, it can lead your nerves. That's exactly right. And that's the other thing. I know people, I'm just saying, this is the culture of my whole family has been in education. Just because that's the best that black folks can do a lot of times. That's not the only reason, but that's aside. But they've not invested in the HVAC systems. They leak, there's mildew, they were already dirty. You know, God, and think about it. Now, we're talking about a new virus that mutated. You know, that's how Legionnaire's disease started in the Bellevue Hotel in Philadelphia, because stagnant water in the HVAC system.
Yep, I remember it well.
Now, see? Right. I mean, this is not hard to figure out. This isn't just speculation. This is just, once again, science. So you have a bunch of people with stagnant air. We've already got the South African and the Great Britain mutants and other ones that are still coming out, because that's just what happens. It's dicey. We're so close now. Why just get these teachers vaccinated? Because folks, you know, these teachers are dying. We all know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Well, that's the other thing. We're trying to act as if everything is normal or getting back to normal way prematurely. We have got to really have even more than a handle on this thing. We have to have, what is it, 85% of the people have to be vaccinated as things currently stand before we can even see normal from here. And we cannot jump the gun on this. Otherwise, it's going to get you. If you think it's bad now or think it has been bad, it has every chance in the world of getting way worse if we don't handle this right. We've already had a year of just fucking it up to a fairly well. We got to just make sure all of our T's are crossed and I's are dotted.
Yes.
Oh, God, you scared the hell out of me, Todd. I was going to call Pat Roberts, and Brother Todd has lost the power of speech. No, but
you said it all, Scott.
I appreciate you.
You said it all. No, you did. And I know people are hurting. I can't imagine having kids and trying to juggle and go to work and find child care. But this is a pandemic, you know. I feel like I need to be quiet now, and I've been listening. You guys are doing a great job, and Mike Lee is crazy, and I think you guys are right. Mike Lee, he's moving his houseboat because he sees that wave coming, and he doesn't want to get damaged. maybe. I don't know. I just, it's just, I guess I'm depressed like everybody else. This is the breaking. Our country's broken.
Our country's yes, it broken. Is, Todd.
Yeah, you
yes,
got that is. Right.
But at least we have
a couple of issues on the schools. In California, they did a bunch of earthquake retrofitting and building and got rid of some collapsing type schools or possibility of collapsing schools based on earthquakes. So the physical plants are a little bit better in California. But now as to the teacher vaccination, we do not have the science yet to understand of the kids being asymptomatic and bring it home to their parents and grandparents. There's no data whatsoever. I mean, the data is on the kids who have gone to school, haven't gotten sick. But what about the ones that might be bringing it home to their parents and grandparents?
Precisely.
Particularly in the multi-generational households. So to ding Biden on opening the schools because he's got to depend on science, if there were science, I could see getting into that. But there's no science.
Absolutely agree. That right. That's where the host this morning, and you know, out of respect, I can disagree sometimes. He's not getting. I don't know when the last time. Right, it's too new of a disease. There's too many other variables. There's too many extraneous variables that aren't being controlled for. That's the way to describe that. And it's a problem. I mean, that's the whole issue right now. This is a new disease. We're still going to have to tweak this vaccine. We've already been told that. It's just painful to watch these people get sick. And we don't even know the long-term effects, talking about what we don't know. We do know it damages our systems and organs, and we do know that it can cause, like, long-term heart trouble. People are having this long-term fatigue. This is not simple and cut and dry, you know, it's very disappointing to have all this other political stuff on top of this. This is the worst possible scenario. I don't understand. It's hard to even talk with people. I don't know. What are we going to do with these people?
Well, Todd, that's the problem in this country. There are so damned many things that we just can't talk to other people about because a combination of ignorance or antiquated information, not to mention xenophobia, bigotry, prejudice poisons any attempt to make progress. Do I make sense?
Yes, you make sense. We have to find some common ground here. We have to. This is. I'm really thinking. You know, this is the time to do infrastructure. The interest rates have been super low forever. Now it's something to get people to the table. Because, and this is the other thing. I think some of these GOP are actually, let's think about this now. Let's take our emotions out. Let's be clinical. Take our emotions out. We know how we feel, but let's take our emotions out. Okay. The insurrectionists, the treasonists, we now know that if they had their druthers, if they were able to, they would have abducted and executed the vice president and lawmakers. They wanted to do that. Some of them. We know that. That's indisputable now. We know that's in one basket. So, that being said, what are the lower level GOP lawmakers to think if they vote against what many of their constituents want? Maybe they are in fear of their lives.
I legitimately think that's true.
I mean,
look, what happened on January 6th was predicated by what was permitted to happen in Michigan in March.
Exactly.
Nobody, and I'm sorry, but it's just damn true that if that mob of gun-toting assholes who laid siege to the state capitol in Lansing, Michigan, had been black, there would have been body parts from here to, you know, from Lansing to Traverse City. It's just a fact of America. They would have gunned them down without a thought. But they were aggrieved and white, so they got to go all the way in and menace, at least the Democrats in the legislature. And now, it was interesting. I'm sorry, this is a little bit of a diversion. But during the arguments yesterday, they mentioned this Mike Shirky guy. He is the Senate Majority Leader in Michigan. And in the course of the argument, they talked about how, you know, he voted to certify the election results in Michigan and said that it was a fairly held election. Well, now he's been caught on tape saying that it was really Democrats who assaulted the Capitol on January 6th, and Trump had nothing to do with it. Now, does he believe that? I don't know. But he's a prominent political official in a state full of people who are more than willing to blow his brains out. Hell yes, they're scared. They're scared to damn death. And it's understandable. Barbara just said, we have schools that are 100 years old in Philadelphia. The school district's talking about opening windows and setting fans up to circulate the air. Parents are against it. How the hell can you do that in the winter? Some teachers say that they're used to wearing coats while teaching in these cold-ass old schools. There's no way these schools can be modernized. We need new, up-to-date schools yesterday. Everything Todd says is true. And Clarence echoed you. Clarence said, some of these old schools are absolutely beautiful. And they have cornerstones that mark the construction year. The 1890s cornerstones are not uncommon. They're beautiful, but not modern. And it's going to be
raising his hand.
It's going to be a recipe for disaster. Go, Sparky.
Well, I wanted to tell you about the oldest school I ever worked on. It was built in 1927. And then I worked on one that was built in 1939. But most... Here in California, most of the schools get upgraded by bond issues. Put it to the local voters, and they vote it up or down, and usually they get voted up, and it raises the taxes on you and everybody. And here in Red Bluff, I've done two jobs that were voted on by bond issues. In 2006, put a new auto shop and machine shop combination building and then a wood shop building on my old high school. And then I built a satellite campus for Shasta College right here in town in 2008. Most schools use a system called a hydroponic system. Where they use hot water and chill water to heat and cool the rooms through a heat exchanger.
See, Marky, this is what I noticed. The schools that were built, they built a lot of schools in the West Coast in the after the war between 1945 and 1955. And they had
the
kind of windows
that you
could open.
Todd, funny thing.
Yeah.
In California, they had a standard school building that they built in the 50s and 60s. And everybody used the same standard like building. So they all looked the same. I worked on remodels on a whole bunch of them that were just absolutely the same, and in different cities and everything, but it was a standard blueprint. They only had like 10 blueprints in the whole state, from what I was told at the time, and you had to build your school to this blueprint.
I totally believe in that, Sparky, and that was the first phone call I made about the Kincaid. That's exactly because I had been all over the country, and I was thinking, I'm like, we're having these financial issues. I said, all right, we understand that there's different, you know, regions in the country, different, you know, temperate zones and, this, you know, different weather. But it seems like you could probably get it within 20 models and then be able to buy things in bulk and get it and save money. Because the only, really what we should be doing is not funding schools. And remember, this is what I used to do for a living, is research and learning and memory and, you know, collect data and write reports about public schools. But that way, you know, don't fund public schools through property taxes. You're not giving everyone a fair shot. You're just not. You know, if kids want to fuck up after they're 17, 18 years old, that's on them. Give everybody, you know, the same opportunity. And until we're willing to do that, we're going to have trouble. But in between, we can save money by having some standardized school buildings. These tin roofs, you know, these metal roofs. What do you think about metal roofs? I think they work.
Oh, metal roofs are awesome. You know, so,
They're bitch
if they're slanted, they're bitch to get up on and work on. You can't get up there with a regular work boot. You got to wear tennis shoes.
Well,
wear something with a rubber sole that would stick better.
Well, we have to do stuff. We have to, like, move forward. We're fighting against nature. We're fighting against Ra, you know, the sun god. The ancients had it right. Why are we fighting against what's already here? That's number one. But I'm not, yeah, well, you know, this is something we could all be able to agree on. See, Republicans, Democrats. I can hardly get my words out. But this is important stuff.
Can I blow your mind, Todd?
Okay.
My old high school has a solar farm on it.
No.
Yes.
How cool is that?
Way cool. I didn't work on it, but it's fun to drive by and look at it.
Well, we need more of that. That's all I'm saying. This is and all the data shows that the solar is getting cheaper by the year now. You see, we have to start using. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In California, some days I can go out and see like half a dozen solar contractor trucks on the road, and you look around at the buildings here and it'll amaze you how many have solar panels on it. And I just got a call today on the phone from a solar company. But I can't put solar panels on my roof right now because my roof is old and I got to replace it in 2 years. And I got all these trees in the front yard that block the sun on a south-facing side.
By the way, if you need to replace your roof, in order to put the solar panels on, because your roof has to be like less than 5 years old for solar panels. If you have to replace your roof, the cost of the roof is also part of what you get on your rebate because it was the cost of the installation. So you end up putting a new roof on your house for like 20% of the cost because 80% of it gets written off on the solar rebate. My percentages may be off on that, but I do know that the cost of putting a new roof down so you can put solar on is part of the federal tax credit and rebate.
But what I wanted to do, Rod.
Uh-oh.
House out of that. So if I could find a company that would do that, I'd be fine.
Sparky, well, you cut out there.
Why is there all this resistance to solar? What is all this? Because I'm trying to figure this out now. We see all these electric cars, hybrids, Audi's got a new full electric car that's just out of control. So, well, what is this resistance?
It's simple. The Democrats were pushing it, so therefore the Republicans have to be against it. Jimmy Carter put solar panels on the White House. So Reagan took them off because it was a goddamn Democrat to put them up.
Those were the heat, hot water.
It's still a solar system.
I know. Well, in 2009, Barack Obama had a electric solar panel system put on the roof of the White House, installed by IBW Local 26 out of Washington, D.C.
Is it still there?
Damn, Sparky.
I don't know. But I read about it in my IBW journal. That's when I was still an active member, not retired.
Robin, I apologize for being slow in the draw to your name.
Oh, no. You're cool. It's all good. I mean, I just got a lovely photo from Darlene in Connecticut. My public high school established 1939 is the main building I see in the photo. There are probably much older parts of the building, consistently ranked among the most beautiful high schools in the nation, I'm proud to say. And they're gorgeous. But the problem is they're not suited to a freaking pandemic. I love exquisite architecture. And I know you have a soft spot, Todd, for architecture.
You read my mind just now, Robin. And that's why I'm glad that I believe it was Barbara, and I know Clarence chimed in, because it's so obvious, it's in your face.
I mean, we've got it just up the road from me, there's an old school, and you know, it's built out of sandstone blocks. Of course, mm-hmm. over the years, it's covered in soot and coal filth, and you know, but it's beautiful, and they can't do anything about it. The red brick building that sits on a hill that was the building my parents went to high school in still sits in the little town. Nobody can do anything about it because it's full of asbestos. It would cost more to tear it down than it does to just leave it there and let it fall into ruin like some sort of Mayan pyramid. That's full of poison.
Asbestos story too, Bob.
And if I may, let me just put this out there real quick. I desperately want to at least meet Charlene's Triumph Challenge. People put these on the table, and you know, when we just ignore them or let them blow by, it's really bad for the future existence of this program, and that's it's awful. $60 at least wipes that out, takes the gold down a little bit. So, you know, even that $60, there's 25 beyond that with Ralph's, and there's a $100 challenge after that from Joey and Giraffe. Maybe Joey will let that extend. Ralph said she would extend it to Friday. But please don't let that $60 just, you know, stop it. That's all I can say. Go ahead, Sparky. I'm sorry.
Well, I did that high school. I said I worked on it. It was a school that was built in 1939. It was in Arbuckle, California, Pierce High School, and it had to be abated of asbestos. So, and it was had raised flooring, so there was an underfloor. Well, one of the rooms was going to be remodeled into a typing room. This was back in the 90s. And so we had to get underneath the floor to put in floor boxes for the desk where the kids would sit with the typewriters. Well, when they abated the asbestos, they pump this concrete slurry underneath the building to encapsulate the asbestos that's in the dirt. And then they take and they use like a garden rake, you know, a tong garden rake, and they spread it around. They're underneath, they're crawling, and the guys that are doing it are all suited up in Tyvek suits and everything. And they crawl around there, and they got these blowers and stuff there. They suck the asbestos out and everything. So they put this concrete encapsulation under there. But then we had to crawl underneath there, and that concrete was rough surface. So what we had to do is we had to drop the ceilings in all the rooms and put in the new air conditioning system in this old school. So there was T-bar in there. You know what T-bar is?
Oh yeah.
And we put on the light fixtures in the T-bar. So we saved all the boxes from the T-bar. The light fixtures are all 4 foot long. So when you open the box, it's 8 foot long. So we had to shove all these boxes underneath there. We opened them up, and it would be a cardboard ramp kind of thing, 8 foot, back to where the typing room was, so we could crawl back there and put in these floor boxes and not tear the shit out of our arms. And then the best part of it was they had insulators come in behind us, so we get to leave the boxes in there, and we didn't have to pull them out. We just had to put them in. The insulators had to pull the boxes out when they were done. That's my asbestos story.
Wow.
Hey, Sparky.
Yeah.
You know what? I remember I can see my elementary school right now, and like what Bob was saying, they had sandstone blocks. A lot of the schools in Philadelphia are made from granite and Wissahickon schist. So the foundation will be these just massive stone, just carved, you know, chopped up stone, big blocks. Of course, it has radon in it too. That's another issue. But, these schools, you can't, it, like Bob was saying, it costs more than knock them down, but they're still around. But anyway, so you go to the bathroom, and they still have asbestos where they used to, right around the hot water pipes, and it was just wrapped in duct tape. You know, remember, asbestos used to be everywhere. I don't know. You started talking about it.
Yeah, well, this old school had a boiler in it for heating. They had to rip all that stuff out, too.
And Scott has his hand up.
Go, Scott.
There's probably a website somewhere or a series of websites where there's a listing of schools, public schools, even private schools, and you can get their vintage and their architect name and all of that. And if there isn't, there ought to be such a website. My junior year, I went to George Washington High School in Alexandria, Virginia, which I believe was built in 1935. And you can probably see pictures of it online. But over the years, some fairly famous people went there as students. Willard Scott was there in the 50s. Cass Elliott of the Mamas and the Papas went there. And Jim Morrison went there when his dad was stationed in the D.C. area. So those halls are hallowed, if not haunted. But it is, you mentioned, Robin, the sandstone. That's and a lot of these buildings, schools especially, were part of the public works in the Roosevelt administration. That's the vintage on some of these schools.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can retrofit.
Well, like Darlene's was 1939 for the main part of the building, but there's older parts of it. Yeah.
And they're lovely buildings, a lot of them. They're well built. I mean, in terms of, you know, if you've got sandstone or granite or whatever, It's going to take a while. The kids are not going to knock that school down if they get ugly one day, you know? Some of the teachers you could probably knock down, old Mrs. Dinwiddie or whatever, but
you're hopeless. And
I know, but somebody has got to figure out a lot of stuff. And the job is made doubly hard when you have 4 years of not just neglect, but actual sabotage done to our system and our utilities, let's say, are the stuff that are part of making our society rotten. And one thing I wanted to ask you, Robin, was you were talking about Michigan being kind of a warm-up, a practice run for what happened on January 6th. Where does Charlottesville fit in the timeline?
Well, I mean, it was in there today. They went all the way back to 2015 and started saying, beat the hell out of them.
Yeah.
It's a continuum.
That needs addressing. If you let something go that you should have addressed at the time, it only emboldens the people who are up to no good later on down the road. That's Jeremy, my experience.
Jeremy has his hand up, Robin.
Oh, go, Jeremy.
Sorry, I was muted. I was going to say, I have a buddy who works in construction, and quite a few times they've taken bids to redo houses' sidings. Well, once in a while they've run into asbestos siding. And the reason it's so expensive to take off is because you basically have to wrap the whole house in a plastic bubble, the floor, wear a breathing suit, everything. I understand why.
Yeah.
But it gets so expensive. It gets so expensive because if OSHA comes on the job site and they find a particle, a speck outside of that bubble wrap, every speck they find can be a $25,000 fine.
Yeah. And it's
and I understand why. I'm not saying it's wrong, but that's what makes it so fucking expensive, because OSHA can pound you into the ground on expenses if you fuck up, basically.
Right. And see, the other side of that, like with this old high school here, is someday it just fucking collapses, and then there's a big cloud of asbestos just blowing all over the little town. That's going to be fun. But Todd, let me just say that I really appreciate you raising this topic, because you know these are the things that are just sort of dry bones, and we don't think so much about them because, well, yeah, school, we got to get the kids back to school, and you know it's had a horrible impact, and the vast majority of the burden of the economic impact of school closures has been borne by women, who have had to, you know, stay home with the kids. I mean, there's 200,000 jobs lost, something like that, and in 1 month, and every job was a job that a woman held. I recall that statistic from not a couple of months ago.
Yeah,
and it's got to be addressed, but. But some of this, it strikes me, is a crisis that we're dealing with because we had a chance to deal with it when it wasn't a crisis, and we damned well didn't. It's the story of this country in many ways. You have an opportunity to solve a problem, but you punt it to the next generation, hoping they'll take care of it. I mean, it starts with the drafting of the Declaration of Independence, for fuck's sake. We can't get to that. They won't sign the Declaration of Independence, but we got that slaves as human beings language in there. That's got to come out, Tom. Okay. Hey, build me a nail factory. I mean, one of the things that just has been all over me, they played the audio of cops, Capitol Police, in tears, begging for relief. You know, they weren't crying because they were sad. They were just overwhelmed. And so we're going to give the Congressional Gold Medal to a couple of them. One of them's dead. But Officer Goodman, who led those freaks away from the Congress to save their ass, is going to get the Congressional Gold Medal. And just because I'm the history nerd that I am, I sat there earlier today watching this all go down, and I thought, son of a gun, you got a guy in there who's protecting members of Congress whose ancestors may have built that building with stolen labor. And he's at hazard of being murdered. And you hear him on, or you see the quote, I don't remember if they played audio. He said, I got called, that word, 15 times. Because he counted, because you do count.
Hey, Robin, is that the same medal that Devin Nunes' cow got?
Ah, Jesus.
And almost dead Rush?
No. He got the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Sorry.
No, this is the Congressional Gold Medal, and I think they actually looked around for something to make sure that it hadn't yet been defiled by the maggots.
Right.
And,
Robin?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I do.
Yeah, I'd like to know what you just said. Yeah, I think what you just said is supremely important. There's so many factors that run into this, and I'm going to be as quick as I can be and be factual. To many black folks to watch this and know what our experience is to walk through this world, in America, and to watch that and to know what would happen if that were one of us. And the reason I really hadn't brought it up is because it's so obvious. And the fact that you have this, that we have this many people who don't understand, and I'm saying this as a professional, okay? I have conducted seminars and workshops on implicit and explicit bias.
Yes.
Now, this will go, now I'm telling you that, and I know this for a fact. That taping, what happened, will be a well-documented case of white privilege. Because you have to understand when you have organizations who have accused or whatever of racial bias, they're mandated to go get training. A lot of them are law enforcement. And my experience, people's experiences and empirical evidence show that, you know, there's a certain group of people who just don't accept the concept, don't believe in it. They just don't, what is white? There's no white privilege. And this is a textbook example, but you have to ask questions. You have to ask them the question to get them to open up. And so it's like if you want to work on an engine in the car, you have to raise the hood first. So you have to build some trust to get the hood up. Okay. And because a lot of people just don't get it. They say, don't say that, blah, blah, blah. And this is why they can't accept the fact of what happened, because this is what they, in their mind, this is what black people do. And remember, we are now, and I'm saying this with all factual evidence on my side. We are, in fact, the shithole country. The shit we used to laugh at about what happened in parts of Africa, Central America, you know, where the Europeans withdrew and they just left the vacuum and a pattern of corruption.
Yeah, we fucked the place up. Good luck. Y'all sort it out amongst yourselves. You know, yeah. All done with all done with a nice Belgian or British or French accent.
Right.
You know, the lovely Flemish accent of King Leopold.
Well, I've learned to steal from the best. You know, come on. You know, we had Papa Doc Trump. And so, you know,
I got to mention this and give props where they're due. One, huge props to the whole House manager team, because they were master, and at one point Jamie Raskin pointed out, he said, my whole team has been up all night for weeks putting this together. And I believe it. But particularly I wanted to call attention to Ted Lieu. One, that man, and he's not that old, looked exhausted today. He looked like the weight of the nation was on his shoulders. but he said something that just ran through me. I don't know what it would be like to be a senator there, because I would be hanging on every word. You know, I'd bring an old kitty litter jug with it with me just so I wouldn't have to go to the restroom. I don't want to miss anything. But he said, the Republicans say that we're only doing this because we want to strip Donald Trump of the ability to hold office because we're afraid to run against him in 2024 because we're afraid he'd win. And he paused and he said, I'm not afraid of Donald Trump running and winning in 2024. I'm afraid of him running again and losing and this happening again or worse.
Bingo.
And that just made the little hairs stand up on the back of my neck. Wow. Because that was the truth of the matter. That's the problem. You know, would they have rioted if he'd won another illegitimate electoral college victory? Oh, they'd be dancing in the streets and hey, by the way, anybody seen the DC numbers for COVID? Because
I'm sure it's through the roof.
Yeah. I saw Jeremy said something like let me pull it up here. This is a graphic. Key GOP senators meet with Trump defense team, even though they're jurors. Means nothing to them. But
hey, Bob, what I sent you said that 27,000 more people have to die for us to officially hit 500,000.
Yeah.
We're probably officially well over that already.
God almighty, that's horrifying.
But the thing is,
hold on, because we're over time and I need to send out thank yous because a little Thursday miracle happened. Charlene's challenge got met. Ralph's challenge got met. And Joey and Giraffe's challenge got met, which is humongous. And so I need to thank specifically Christopher and Terrace, thank you very much. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, dear Jude at Women Standing. Thank you to our anonymous friend. Thank you to Colin. Thank you all very kindly. And thanks, Jack. No worries, no worries at all. I know you didn't disappear. But I want to thank you all. Jack, I've seen you in the chat room this evening. I just never saw your hand up, if you wanted to say something, but thank you all so much. I'm sorry I sounded kind of desperate, but every month of this network since 2005 has been an act of a combined act of faith and fear. Faith that this will continue another month and fear that it won't. So, again, I thank you all so very much. I need to wrap this up. If y'all want to continue and make it a back porch, that's up to Sparky. We'll have a Friday on the Front Porch program tomorrow. I'm eager for it. My God, we'll probably be barking like howler monkeys after we watch the whatever passes for his defense. But, you know, those legal lights, Lindsey Graham, Raffaellito, I'm sure they're charting an absolute Kobayashi Maru kind of course, aren't you? But thanks to all of you. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you, Sparky, in the around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a scant 45 minutes away. 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. All you can do is keep getting better, my friend. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. You heard the information, I hope, from the Agence France-Presse article about double masking. It's worth the effort to dig around and find out the right way to do it. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use lots of hand sanitizers, nitrile gloves if you've got them or can get them. Maintain your social distance 15 feet between people with masks. There is not a sufficient distance to be anywhere near people who don't. And if somebody comes toward you saying, "Hey, I got me a polyamorous sex guru, tantric sex guru," avoid that person like the plague, because she is. Later, y'all.